Some of what you are about to hear might be deemed offensive by some people. If you are insulted by people arguing about the New England Patriots and pretty much anything else, or by subjects like soap with a slot, gutter cleaners, people with big heads, Bill Polian, Egypt, wedge salads, and drilling for oil, you probably shouldn't listen to PFW in Progress. But if you do listen and hear something questionable, please do not be offended. We're just trying to entertain. In other words, some of the content of PFW in Progress may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
You smiling?
Yes.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Why are you smiling?
Because I love football. Football's fun.
Fun, sir.
Fun, sir.
It's fun.
Yes.
You sure?
I think so.
Now you're thinking. First you smile, then you think. You think football is still fun?
Yes.
Sir.
Yes, no.
No?
Sir, it was fun.
Not anymore, though, is it? Is it?
No, not by now.
No, it's not fun anymore.
No.
Not even a little bit.
No.
Make up your mind.
No, no.
Think, since you're thinking. Now go on, think.
No,
is
no.
it fun?
No, sir.
No.
No, sir.
Absolutely not?
Zero fun, sir.
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
I can guarantee you there isn't a bum on the street that looks as raggedy and ridiculous as what I'm looking at right now. This is no democracy. It is a dictatorship. I am the law.
Paul Perillo.
And I noticed that he wears those leopard-spotted underwears, bikini style, sir.
And Andy. And Andy?
Think you got a future in football?
Andy Hart.
Oh, heck no. I just figure if I got to be in school, I might as well hit some people while I'm at it.
And while I'm excited about my future at Dighton Rehoboth.
Eric Scalavino. For now, anyway.
Does the term cruel and unusual punishment mean anything to you?
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
You got anger, that's good. You got aggression, that's even better. You're going to need that too. But any little two-year-old child can throw a fit. Football is about controlling that anger, harnessing that aggression into a team effort to achieve perfection. We will be perfect. Let's go to work.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. I had to do it once this month. Yeah, you fulfilled the quota right there.
No, doesn't usually that end with some kind of, like, big music?
No, that's Rudy.
That's Rudy. Oh, okay.
That's the other one he plays.
That's the other football opening. All right, it is Thursday here at Gillette Stadium. We're getting ready for Denver.
There's no food for anybody right now.
There's no food, right. But Paul is busy transcribing the picks because we're going to do that today at 1:30. Today is not a usual day at Gillette Stadium because there's no Bill Belichick press conference on Thursdays.
Well, it's a usual Thursday.
Anymore.
That's the schedule for Thursday.
Yeah. What is the schedule for Thursday?
Players.
And? What
Players.
Happened? Anything?
How's
that locker room?
No, there was
evidently,
nobody in there.
Evidently, they didn't get the schedule.
they weren't.
Matt Light came in and did a group setting, his normal whatever, but I was at least 35 feet away and could hear every word he said. That's how quiet it was in there.
Really?
There was Brandon Merriweather did a one-on-one with the Globe, which I eavesdropped on and heard him say, anytime you're mentioned in the same sentence as Ed Reed, and I'm thinking, who mentioned you in the same sentence as Ed Reed other than play the same position in the NFL? Yeah, there was nobody. There was no talking.
Is that a good sign or a bad sign?
Gerard Mayo was in there the entire time. Didn't talk to anybody except Gary Guyton, his, you know, bosom buddy.
Right.
Was in there the whole time. I take that as a good sign. I don't think he'll play this week, but I take it as a good sign.
Well, Eric will be back at about 1:15 or so with the practice report. So we'll
Paul, you think
happens.
Mayo could get 15 to 20 snaps this week?
Andy's obviously referring to an erroneous report that was out last week
right.
saying that. But
one of the great words in the English language, erroneous.
I have to think there's at least a chance that he plays this
yeah.
week.
Yeah, I think it's one more week.
You think so?
I think it's probably one more week, but I got to think there's a chance. And here's why.
Okay.
He came back to practice last Friday,
right.
ran around a little bit, did some things. The very next opportunity to be on the field was the following Wednesday, and he was out there
yes.
and in the same capacity. So no setbacks or anything. It wasn't just to see where he stood or anything
so
like that.
But it's so vague what out there is.
No, you know but I mean? My like, point is that it wasn't just to see where he was. They obviously have started him practicing. So
no, I
think there's a chance. Do I think he will?
Percentage.
No, I think
yeah.
there's at least another week.
I think the reason
25%
why, yeah,
maybe.
The reason why I don't think he will play this week is because it's a road game. And I think the first game he'll play will be a home game.
Okay.
So you're telling me if they were embarking on a three-game road trip right now, he wouldn't be playing until after that was over?
Well, again, they don't have to worry about that because they're not doing it.
All right.
But I'm saying if you have a home game the next week, you know, the guy has to travel. He's trying to rehab a knee, you know.
Okay. So it had nothing to do with it. It was the travel aspect.
The travel aspect. Okay. Right.
I thought you were like, I want it to be a home game.
No.
You know how
the thin air can be on a knee. No, it has to do with the travel aspect.
Well, you know, you brought up the thin air, Andy, and I do think that might be an interesting element. Are you maybe looking for a little more depth? Because maybe you want to rotate players a little bit more frequently than you normally would. I don't know. Maybe his whole 10 or 15 snap thing this week, well, that might benefit you because it's 10 or 15 snaps that maybe someone else doesn't have to take, you know, in the thin air of Mile High.
Now that's a good point.
Yeah, I would just be I'd be playing when he's healthy. I mean,
I would too.
It's not really 10 or 15 snaps. The 10 or 15 snaps maybe is to get him back into game speed and game shape. But to me, if he's healthy enough, there's a possibility he plays the whole game.
Right.
You know what I mean?
It's not easing back into it.
I want him at health, and then he'll play. And maybe he's winded, and maybe Mayo, they rotate a little bit or whatever, but I'm waiting till he's healthy.
That's generally Bill's way, too. I think we're all in agreement on this one. Bill doesn't usually, you know, ease a guy back in. When a guy's ready to play, he plays. You know, see Teddy Bruschi after the stroke. You know, I'm not going to ease him back in, and he's going to play.
I'll eat those, though. Was there an...
You got to listen to Paul.
No, I don't.
I was done.
There's 17 different types of food being put on the table.
Why
do we have all these different options? I like it.
But never, ever look free.
Since we're talking about lunch, I might as well read Larry's email. Larry is the person who got us lunch today. And he
says, thank you, Larry. Hello, Larry.
Larry from San Diego. I was the person who was hoping to buy you a government bailout lunch in person. That isn't going to happen. I did find out just yesterday that our parent company is going to keep us in business, but I won't be coming east this year. So instead of a bailout lunch, I'm using the government's new Cash for Lunchers program. I hope you enjoy it. I did want to ask Fred a personal question. You said that you worked at the Compass Lounge in the Cape. Were you there when DJ Sullivan was performing? Hands down, the best happy hour entertainer ever. I was absolutely there when DJ Sullivan was there.
Since when do they have fresh cookies?
Anyway, I'm very encouraged with the Pats so far. The offense is a work in progress, although all Pats fans should pray for the health of Welker and Moss every day if we want to be playing in February. I like what I see from the defense so far. I like Butler. I think he'll be a number one corner by next year. And last Sunday was Merriweather's coming out party. Andy, please, no Eric jokes here. All righty then. I hope you enjoyed the lunch and want to let you know that this is my favorite podcast in both the football and non-football banter is the best.
I apologize. I ignored your entire email because there's just an amazing array of food in front of us.
Oh, my God.
There's fresh baked, like, butterscotch or caramel cookies.
Doctor just opened up a pizza box.
Is this all for us? Because am I eating a sampler or is this somebody's
box
lunch?
Are just freshly baked cookies on wax paper. I mean, when I say freshly baked, they just came out of the oven.
There's warm.
Yeah.
Aromas.
Yes. This is unbelievable, Larry.
But did somebody order an appetizer sampler as their meal?
No.
Or did he throw this in?
No, but of course, you know, whether or not somebody did, it's now in front of...
Well, just so you know, after I finished one onion ring and one mozzarella stick, I asked.
Yeah.
I didn't have a chicken finger yet.
So somebody might have, but, you know, you didn't care. All right.
Well, I assumed it wasn't one of the three of us, and since we're the show, I don't care if I eat Tamasha's or Doctor's Lunch.
That's amazing, Larry. Thank you very much. Larry from San Diego, and it's good news that your parent company is keeping you in business for a little bit.
Yes.
So that's really good. All right, so a quiet locker room.
It's 12-11.
Guys are getting ready for Denver. AFL exhibit opened yesterday. Just want to remind people about that. If you're in the driving distance of Gillette Stadium, they have this unbelievable second-to-none exhibit of AFL artifacts up in the Hall of Patriot Place presented by Raytheon. So that was good. And also, I listened to Shop Talk yesterday at 4 o'clock, a lively show. Lots of emailers, but you couldn't get Christina Acra to say cherry pie. I can't believe you lost that soundbite. What, Doc? What happened?
Did you lose it, or did she request that it not be played anymore?
Here comes Doc to the microphone because he's not in his booth.
She requested that it not be played anymore.
Really?
I told her that it was deleted because she threatened my life, but it may be backed up somewhere.
Does she understand all the sound bites that get played about us?
Yes.
Okay. She should know that because her saying cherry pie is nothing as embarrassing as some of the things you play about us.
Well, I was disappointed she wouldn't have said it live.
Yeah. It's not so much the cherry pie. It's the laugh afterwards that I think everybody likes. It's infectious. Sort of like Brandon McGowan's speed on the field. It's infectious. So.
All right.
All right. I guess I can't talk about that because did you take all the ketchups too?
No, there's 1,000 ketchups over here.
Oh, over there. All right.
There's enough of everything you could ever want.
Oh, there it is. I like it.
It might be backed up or you found it instantly upon returning to your desk.
It's backed up.
We'll hope that Christina wasn't listening. All right, so you guys have any other news to go over since yesterday? What are the people writing about? I mean, I know Mike Wright was a big topic of discussion.
Mike Wright was fined by the league for his roughing the passer.
$5,000, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, I don't know specifically the fine. I think that's what's reported, but he definitely was fined.
Well, you know, he's got to learn. It's a learning curve.
And it was reported to me that the others were not. Suggs and Nada were not fined for their transgressions.
I wonder what they say, you know, what the line is there, like, you know, once they look at it, he meant to do it or whatever. Because I'm sure if you ask Mike Wright, he'll say, I didn't mean to do it, you know.
Right.
I think the difference to me was it's a terrible rule. We all know we've talked about this ad nauseum. But Mike Wright is just putting his hands up, trying to get in the quarterback's way to block a pass, potentially. Trying to make it harder for him, not give him a lane to throw. And when you do that, sometimes you're going to hit the quarterback in the head, and unfortunately that's what happened to him. But in terms of intent, I don't think he was intending to slap, you know, Joe Flacco in the face or anything like that.
I don't think he was.
It just happened.
You know.
But it's a penalty. I don't really get it, but, you know.
But, you know, they don't fine people for, you know, face masks.
Sometimes they do.
You can be, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, I don't really know why he was fined. I mean,
it didn't seem overly vicious to me that he should have been.
And I don't believe it's in any way automatic. So,
well, we know it's not automatic. Vince Wilfork didn't get fined for his roughing the passer.
Well, here's why I asked the question. And, you know, I don't want to get into World War III. But do you think that the league hears, you know, other people from other cities besides New England when they say, oh, the league favors the Patriots, the media favors the Patriots.
No.
And they hear that, and they say, well, here's an opportunity for us to kind of show people that we're not Patriots biased. And
so
maybe
ridiculous.
Whether it's conscious or subconscious, they say, let's give this guy a fine.
No, I think these conscious or subconscious is they may believe that the Ravens got hosed a little bit and don't want to add insult to injury by fining them. They want it to go away as quickly as possible. That's kind of how
Why not fine? Why fine anyone?
Because I'm saying in a level standard, maybe all three guys would have gotten a 5K fine.
Right.
But based on everything that transpired in that game, not just the roughing the passer,
but the
fake field goal, Harbaugh getting flagged on the sideline, all those things, I think they might have looked at it as the Ravens paid the price on Sunday for everything in total, and let's move on.
But so you don't think that they thought, well, let's not just fine, let's get rid of all the fines. But they still decided to find right.
Yeah, that's my point, because the Patriots didn't get hosed. The Patriots won the game. They didn't necessarily pay for their whatever.
So there was a conscious decision to find the Patriots and not the Ravens, you're saying.
No, yeah, I'm playing along with your little theory that some other factors played into it other than strict by the rules what the plays were.
That's what I wanted to get at.
I'm going
to
agree with you, Fred, in that I don't want to start World War III, but I think it's just as simple as I think they looked at it and thought that there was one good call and two questionable calls. And they decided to find the guy that they thought was a good call. I think it's a terrible rule. I'm with you on that 100% with Mike Wright. I don't know what you're asking defensive linemen to do nowadays. I really don't. It's become a position that's almost impossible to play. You know, a guy who makes a living rushing the passer. I don't know how you do it consistently. I mean, let's face it. No one gets there every time. So when you get there a split second late, you run the risk of these game-changing penalties every week. I think it's unfortunate. It's an unfortunate byproduct of your whole bottom line thing of making sure the quarterback stays healthy.
I also thought it was funny. I told Paul this off the air. I watched the Mike Pereira portion of NFL with Brady and all that.
And an unfortunate byproduct of the discussion was whether they treat stars differently. Tom Brady gets calls. And Sean Hill was kind of thrown out there as the opposite end of the spectrum. We would have made this call whether it's Tom Brady or Sean Hill. He's like quarterback number 32 on the depth chart.
Poor Sean Hill.
Who's, by the way, 3-1 and has a great record and moved in the right direction.
Do we have any napkins?
No, just very limited napkin supply. Doc will get you some.
I need something substantial because this is like tissue paper.
It is. Terrible.
God forbid you have any whiskers at all. It just rips apart on your face.
Yep.
So, good napkins, that's something that's going away in this society.
Well, it's going away around here. We had those Patriot logo ones, which were borderline cloth.
Yeah,
those
were nice.
Hefty. They were probably expensive, too, so they're probably on the way out.
We used them all. I can't find any more down here.
There's no napkins at all?
They're phasing those out.
What the hell am I supposed to do? I got food all over me.
Let me go see what I can do. I'll find
What the hell am I supposed
find
to
something.
Do?
Find something. Paper towel. I don't
Toilet
care.
Paper.
No, not toilet paper.
Should I tell you?
That's what basically what we have right now.
Do you want? You know how they transport the paper towels?
How's that?
Garbage cans.
Wow.
I saw one of the cleaning ladies dump the garbage can, then filled it up with clean rolls of paper towels to take them around from bathroom to bathroom. Sanitary, right? That's swine flu prevention at its best. All right.
All right. Oh, there we go. Thank you.
He was hoarding them for himself.
What is this?
He goes, thank you, and then, what is this?
Forks and knives in. Oh, okay. All right. I'm good.
Freddie.
I'm back on track.
Trade.
What?
There is a lot of hullabaloo out on the West Coast with the Chargers, maybe looking to shake things up, trades, merriments.
Well, here's the problem with the Chargers.
Can I finish?
Okay, go ahead.
He just flat out, I was literally in the middle of a sentence. Would you send a mid-round selection, fourth-round pick or so, for Sean Merriman? Because in my opinion, this defense right now is playing good team defense. They're getting good play in the secondary. Some of the questions we had could still use a pass rusher.
Mid-round,
Derek Carr just
fourth,
wasn't the answer.
Yes, I would do it. I would do it.
As opposed to an early-round fourth. You would?
Yeah.
I'd say five, but I don't think they have any.
I would definitely send a fourth round. I'm not sure you can.
I mean, you're getting him for like 12 games potentially. He's injured. He's, a bad mouther. He's damaged goods on different levels. So I think that's, why you might be able to get him on the cheap.
This latest thing that's going on over there, A.J. Smith, who is their general manager, comes out and, we've done nothing right. It's embarrassing. It's terrible. Blah blah blah, and I agree with Merriman. We don't need to hear that from him, especially in the media. A.J. Smith is a hothead. Okay, he's one of these guys who is overcompensating for himself being in a suit, wants to be in shoulder pads, or at the very least on the sideline coaching. So overcompensates himself by being this tough guy in the media. And as a player, I don't want to hear that. I kind of go down with Sean Merriman on this particular case.
Right.
I don't like a lot of the things he's done, but in this particular thing, I side with Merriman.
I just think it's clear A.J. Smith has all the control out there, doesn't really have to answer to ownership if he thinks it's a good idea to trade Merriman. So, and there's talks now, Pro Football Talk Reporter, he's been working the phones, maybe looking to shake things up a little bit before the trading deadline, which is now
right.
2 weeks away or just under 2 weeks away. I would take Merriman. I think it would be a good fit. I just wonder what fans think of Merriman as a hothead, steroid user, punk, or would you take him as a pass rusher?
Well,
which, by the way, I'm not sure he's still a great pass rusher either. There's some questions there about his knee and the return to health and what he is.
Yeah, I'd take a shot at him.
I would, too.
Fourth-round pick? Absolutely.
If I could get him for a fourth-round pick, I would.
Yeah.
I'm not.
Yeah, now
like I said, I'm not sure you could get him for that.
The higher you go, obviously, the more I'm thinking about it. And probably be not doing it, but at fourth round, I pull that trigger. A.J. Smith, this is a guy who had his photo changed in the media guide because he was smiling. He didn't want to have a photo of himself smiling.
You know what I think is unfortunate?
I totally agree with
all
the whole A.J. Smith take, by the way.
Overshadow his – he's done a good job. He puts together a good football
team. He's a tremendous evaluator of talent,
so.
But that's it. And I think
no, but I mean, that's his main job.
Yeah, but the other stuff
the
that he does
is
hurts
the problem is he makes himself
cause.
Look like an ass. Otherwise, he'd be mentioned in the names of – Belichick and Polian and guys that consistently keep his team. I mean, he's made some tough decisions over the years, and more often than not, he's made pretty good decisions.
Yeah, but it's one thing to be able to put all the pieces in place, which he's done effectively. But then when you don't allow the people that you hired to use those pieces properly and to do their jobs, you end up becoming counterproductive. I think that's what he did with Marty. You know, you could say what you want about Marty Schottenheimer.
And, 14-2.
And his postseason track record is terrible. But he's a good football coach. Is he a great coach? No. He doesn't have the postseason track record to back up great, but he's a good football coach, and he did nothing but tinker with it to the point where now, despite the fact that you have all that talent, now you have no coaching, and instead of going 14-2 every year, you're 8-8.
Right.
You know, that's a big difference.
You're the most talented 8-8 team in the league.
You know, you were 8-8 last year. You're 2-2 now. You are what you are at some point. Yeah. They're a very talented team that doesn't win anywhere near as much as it should. And I think a lot of that is A.J. Smith's fault, because I think the talent is there, but he makes it tough for the guys to go about and get the job done.
You know, so getting back to your original question, yeah, I would do that. I think Merriman, you know, when he's healthy, has enough athletic ability where you don't have to worry too much about him, you know, being smart and knowing the scheme. He can just go out and make some plays for you.
And we all know he's played outside linebacker. They've asked him to rush. We know they've asked him to cover because they seem to always do it against the Patriots, where he's not coming after the quarterback as often as many of us think he should be. And I just wonder, everything you just said about A.J. Smith and the culture there, there's also a chance you get him here for a half a season. He likes it. He has fun, whatever. And you can sign him long term. And maybe you steal a player. Keep him from going to the open market. If you were interested, you don't have to bid for him. You know, he likes the culture. He wins some games, gets in the playoffs. All of a sudden, he takes maybe, you know, hometown deal. I'm just throwing this out there as pie in the sky. I'm just, right. I also don't know if he's healthy, if he's the same guy.
Plus, it would be good to get another guy who's misunderstood. You know, you can never get enough of those guys, you know, because right now he's a jerk. But if the Patriots acquired him, right, another misunderstood
guy. Well, he's on the road to rehab.
Right. So it would be nice. It'd be nice to get another one of those guys.
This is where players go to rehab their image and win football games. Nothing wrong with that. All right. Webradio at Patriots.com is the email address. 508-543-7482 is the phone number. Speaking of that, the mayor of Minneapolis or the governor of Minnesota, one of the two. He's one of those guys. Was on ESPN last night, or was it CNN? I don't know. He was on some show, and he says, we never want Randy Moss ever to come back into the state of Minnesota. He was a jerk while he was here. Those were his words.
Great cash, homie.
And that's his opinion.
You know?
And it's probably the facts.
You know,
I mean, enough stories came out of there about how he treated various people that I can see why in their personal experience they'd consider him a jerk. But for personal experiences here, I've yet to see too many people that would consider him a jerk. I mean, he's been kept to himself, doesn't whatever, but I don't know too many people that have, you know, had negative
crossings. Yeah, I
mean, the
problem with Randy has been immaturity, not, you know, criminal or anything like that. He's just immature.
Maybe he's learned at those points when he wants to say or do something stupid, do nothing or say nothing, walk, move away,
right,
and, you
move
know,
on.
Move on.
Yep. So, I just thought that was interesting.
I think that's been a big part of his ability to blend in here. He's done very, very little media stuff. And when you do that, if you have a problem sometimes saying the wrong thing, you eliminate the opportunity to do that.
That's maturity.
That's maturity.
Knowing your
that's
weaknesses.
Maturity.
Well, you know what they say. How does a fish get caught? He opens his mouth. Right?
Aren't most fish on a large level caught by nets? Don't they just swim along and this massive net reels them in?
You know
unless
I mean.
Unless Nemo tells them to swim down.
Right.
You know what I mean.
All
right.
And then a bird can come down and grab him. Never opened his mouth.
Today at 4 o'clock is Fantasy Lowdown with Brian Lowe.
Blow.
Will he have any guests on today, Doc?
I'm not the brightest guy in the world.
Yes, he actually does have a guest.
Who?
I don't remember. I'll have to look.
Oh, boy.
He's not the
I'm trying to promote the show. I'm trying to do him a favor. Oh, well.
I'm sure it's a fantasy geek from somewhere.
Yeah. But, you know, want to get people excited.
From roundball.com.
Are either of you two playing fantasy football?
Yes, not well.
No?
I mean, you don't have a team in the PFW?
I do, but I think somebody does it for me in absentia.
I think somebody needs to do that for me because I am O for the season.
You and me both.
I couldn't suck more.
So, all right, let's see.
What are you looking at?
Jamie Eisenberg from CBS is his guest today.
Who the hell is that?
Jamie Eisenberg from CBS, and he's a fantasy football guy?
Yes.
Oh, great.
And we'll also have, starting next week, a guy from a website, fantasyguru.com, will be making a monthly appearance on the show.
There we go. Now we're talking. All right. 508-543-7482 is the phone number. John from Dallas. Is he still on the phone?
I'm still here.
Hey, John. How you doing?
Good, guys. How you doing?
Great. What's up?
I want to kind of continue on it on this Merriman thread, if you don't mind.
Oh, nice.
So what would it realistically take? I mean, I don't think a fourth rounder is going to get it done. But I just had a chance to look up some stats. I want to do some comparison against the Patriots outside linebackers, okay?
Okay.
So Guyton, believe it or not, leads the crew. I don't know if you consider him outside, but he leads the crew anyway. 17 solo, 9 assisted, 26 total, right? Thomas is behind him with 10 solo, 4 assists. Woods is behind him with 9 solo and 4 assists. If you look at Merriman's stats for the year, he's got 8 total tackles, 3 solo, 5 assists, no sacks. I mean, if you compare him against who we got right now, Woods is actually ahead of him in terms of tackles, both solo and assists. Well,
right.
Actually solo. But.
And I'm not saying I've watched him play at all. I don't know what his health status is, but we know that when he's right, he's, you know, Pierre Woods can't touch the bottom of his shoes.
No, for sure.
And he's coming back from an injury. I don't know where he's at in that process. I'm just saying, take a flyer on a guy. Take a chance for a position of need. And I'm talking about pass rush more than anything else. I'm not talking about tackles. I mean, those are your Guyton numbers are swayed because he's playing middle linebacker right now for 3 yep. and a half games. So he should be leading the team in tackles, should be leading the linebackers in tackles. But I'm talking pure pass rush. It may even be Derek Burgess plays less and he plays in place of Burgess. I don't know. I'm just looking for a pass rusher, and it looks like you take a flyer on this guy.
Has Merriman missed any games yet this year?
Has Merriman what?
Missed any games. Has he played all in
no,
all the games?
No, he's played all 4.
No, he's played. Just hasn't played well.
Yeah. So realistically, what would it take if say, BB was interested in him? I mean, we were talking about a three-quarter-of-a-year rental, right?
Right. That's why I think you might be able to get him cheap. Literally a third or a fourth-round pick. I don't know.
What about a player?
I have no idea. I mean,
Let me guess. You want to trade Joey Galloway for him?
No, I'm not that crazy.
Who do you want to trade for him?
I don't know.
James Sanders?
I'm not going to go there either.
I'll give him Rich Ornberg.
I honestly don't know.
I don't think it's necessarily the Patriots may look at it this way, but he won't necessarily be a one-year rental. Me and Andy talked about this a little bit in the locker room. He's scheduled to enter free agency, Fred, but he's only going to be a five-year guy. And by all accounts, that CBA is not going to get straightened out. So 5 years is not going to get you unrestricted free agency. He'll be restricted. So they would be able to keep him probably if they wanted to.
Yep.
Without jumping through too many hoops. So it might not necessarily be a one-year rental from San Diego's point of view, and it might cost you more. That's the point of me bringing that up.
Right. They could make that argument.
So. Well, I don't know. I think this guy would make a ton on the open market.
Well, you just said
not
that
with the numbers you just put up coming off an injury.
Yeah, I mean, I think
no, I know, but there's enough crazy ownership in the NFL that somebody's going to pay in the big bucks.
I'm not so sure.
I think he's viewed as, and Andy said it this way when he started the whole thing. I think he's viewed as damaged goods. I think, you know, we talk a lot about how tough these guys are, and sometimes I think there's a fine line between toughness and stupidity. I don't know what his health status is right now, and I don't know what it's related to. But last year, he tore his ACL in the preseason and said, I'm going to play with it. And he tried to play in the first game, didn't make it through the first game. And I don't know, is it a coincidence that he can't play anymore? Maybe it is. Maybe it had nothing to do with it. Maybe he'd be in the exact same spot if he had just sat out and went about his business. But maybe he did further damage by playing on it.
He also has a drug suspension on his record.
A drug suspension, you know, a he said, she said kind of deal with his psycho girlfriend there.
He's pretty much got all the red flags. Off the field, substance, and injuries.
I don't think he's commanding multi-million
and not
dollars
performing.
In
it would be different if he had 6 sacks through the first 4 games. You said, okay, he's back. He's Sean Merriman.
Who'd you rather have, him or Doomerville right now? Elvis Doomerville.
Well, I know what Bill would say. 5'11", Bill has no interest.
No, but
I'd take Sean Merriman. I mean, he's been playing terribly this year, but he's still, I mean, if you got to think he's still got something in the tank. I don't know.
Well, that's what the talent evaluators get paid for, and they'd be watching him and see, well, he's looking, he looks like he's missing a little bit of his burst. That will come back.
Right, he's only a year into it. He's not a full year even probably at this point.
You know, and that's what those guys get paid for, and certainly it's a difficult job to do, making that projection. But you're right, John. I think a lot of guys probably would be interested. I'm just not sure the multi-million dollar offers would be pouring in unless he starts producing.
And that's where the rental comes in. You rent him for the ability to, is he getting quicker each week? Is he getting better each week? Should I invest long-term in him?
Yeah. I mean, I think it'd be a great thing if we can get him for a fourth rounder. I mean,
me too.
Well, for a fourth rounder, I would wholeheartedly be in favor. Yeah.
But Paul makes a good point. I mean, since the injury, you haven't seen a flash yet that he's going to get back to his old self. So, yeah.
But that's what those guys get paid for. Right. They see, like I said, you know, well, that's the Sean Merriman first step that we've seen a million times. He didn't get around the corner. He's lacking that burst. That will come back. Maybe he's just not quite ready yet. And or they might look at it and say, geez, he looks awful sluggish. He can't move. That's never going to come back. That's what those guys get paid for, to make those kinds of projections. That's a difficult job.
Yep.
Yeah. So, hey, before I go, what do you kind of switch gears a little bit? What do you guys think of the Braylon Edwards trade? Have you discussed that at all?
We did a little.
I like
yesterday.
The Browns end of it.
We talked about it yesterday. I don't love it. I don't love it from the Jets' perspective. I think it's a good receiver. Clearly, they got a better receiver than they gave up. But I would argue that the one they gave up was very important to their offense, and they don't really have a guy that does those things. I compare him to Wes Welker. He's not as good as Welker. But Stuckey is an important slot receiver, and I think that you may potentially have picked up a headache in Braylon Edwards. And Andy talked about it a lot yesterday. He's a guy who kind of wanted to be a star, was jealous of LeBron James in Cleveland.
Right.
And now he's going to a place where if things go well in New York, Mark Sanchez is the star, not Braylon Edwards.
You think about it, Eli Manning, you can make a case that it's better for him that Plaxico Burress isn't there. Mm-hmm. It's better for him that Shockey isn't there.
I think it's
those
kind of
guys
case.
Can be quarterback killers.
I think it's an overwhelming case in his favor. Andy and I talked about that earlier in the year, too. Yeah. I don't think it's a surprise that Eli Manning made step number one in his career when Shockey left and now seems to have made step number two after Plaxico Burress left. Obviously.
Right.
As a quarterback, he'd love to have those kinds of talented players around them, but sometimes they're not worth the troubles that they bring.
And, there's no more of a disciplinarian and an authoritarian than Coughlin, so you would think, if there's a coach that would get a handle in that type of situation, it'd be him. Rex Ryan, I don't know if, he's going to be the kind of guy that tells Braylon Edwards, shut your mouth, Sanchez is your boss,
but
you're
not
his
have
boss.
To. Sometimes those just work the same. Work themselves out because of the atmosphere.
Winning,
but he's not under as many restrictions, so he doesn't rebel as much. He doesn't lash out. You never know how that's going to work. I just look at it as, on a lesser level, this to me feels like the Jay Cutler trade. The Broncos needed to get rid of Jay Cutler, somehow turned him into a quarterback and two first-round picks. The Browns wanted to get rid of Braylon Edwards, somehow turned him into a starting receiver, a couple draft picks, and I guess a guy who's supposedly a very good special teams player. So you unloaded a guy, but you didn't just cut him. You were able to unload him and get a pretty good take for him.
Yeah, I think the slight edge to Cleveland there. I mean, it could end up being a big play for the Jets. If Braylon Edwards goes to New York and catches 10 touchdowns the rest of the season, it ends up being a good deal for both teams.
But it's one of those he wouldn't have done it there.
I agree with Andy. I think regardless of what happens from here on in, it's a good deal for Cleveland because they got something for nothing.
Right.
They were not going to get anything out of Braylon Edwards.
Right.
Yeah, as long as those 10 touchdowns don't come against the Pats.
You got that right.
Well, from a Patriots perspective, it could hurt Patriots.
It could hurt the Patriots in that division rival, may have gotten better.
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm thinking, too. I don't know. I guess I'd have to see him a couple games. But last thing, guys, I think I called like about a month and a half ago, and, I was doing kind of the over and under on weeks in terms of when Chung would start. And I thought I said like week four or week five or something like that. I mean, I'm totally off base. I didn't even see McGowan coming. I mean, that guy has really supplanted himself in the defense. He's pretty amazing player.
But even if McGowan wasn't here, I still don't think that we'd see Chung starting.
No.
I don't think he's anywhere near ready.
Nope.
I agree with you, Freddie. Yeah. And the eye-opener for me was that last preseason game we were talking about with the Giants. And, early in the game he was out there with starters and not playing well. And then late in the game he was out there against the Giants subs and not playing
still
well.
Still not.
Which doesn't mean anything. Brandon Merriweather didn't play either.
Absolutely. Not saying he's Ed Reed. I'm not willing to call it a bust or anything like that. I'm just saying I don't think he's ready. I think the way Fred put it is perfect.
He's just not ready yet.
Jimmy'd be playing more.
I mean, this guy was a second rounder. Brace was a second rounder. And neither of these two guys have spent a lot of time on the field.
Yep.
Brace hasn't spent any time on the field.
But it's harder for Brace.
Absolutely.
Like a sixth or seventh round pick.
Ooh, yeah, Price? That's what makes Brace look bad, but it's harder for him to be active on a game day as just some jag defensive lineman because he doesn't play special teams, whereas Chung is playing special teams, so he's going to be on the roster, so he's a better chance to play. But for the bad part for Brace is Pryor being so far ahead of him for virtually second week of the preseason on, Pryor has been well ahead of Brace.
Yeah, amazing. Anyways, Merriweather and McGowan, excellent combination. I like that. I don't mean to. I'm not saying anything bad about Sanders. I know. I think Andy's a Sanders lover, right?
Love him.
Lover is big game. Hardly the word. It's
coming off his worst game as a professional.
Gulper. It's more like it.
I think Merriweather saved his butt last week.
He did. No question. Saved his tuchus.
Big times. Anyways, McGowan and Merriweather. That's a lethal combination, I think. Those two stay healthy.
They're doing well.
Absolutely.
They throw their bodies around. I don't know if they can tackle, but they throw their bodies around. All right.
All right, John and Dallas. Now, I made a big deal about these cookies that they put on the wax paper for us right out of the oven. Do you remember those old candies called dots? They'd come on a strip of paper, and you tried it, and every once in a while, the paper would just stick to the back of the candy. That's what's happening here. You can't eat the cookie because it's stuck to the paper.
Maybe you should have eaten that before your burger.
Oh, that's a good cookie, too.
Is it?
It's very good.
I'm going to be chewing it off the paper in a minute.
Is it time for the break?
Yeah, can you?
All right, it's 12:38. We'll be right back.
At American Airlines, we know it seems like you're on the road almost as much as your favorite sports team. We know you've scheduled a business trip to a city where your team happens to be playing that night. And we know that on every trip, you inevitably forget to bring a toothbrush. But you never forget that old pair of socks you wear on game day to bring your team luck. We know for you, it's not just a seat on a flight to a place. It's a seat on a flight to your life. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
Hey, don't go yet, sir.
But the light turned green.
Well, you don't go till I say so. You play by my rules. My rules.
Ball start, loss of 5 yards, still first down.
What are you talking about?
Unsportsmanlike conduct, 10 yards.
Unsportsmanlike is 15 yards.
Move the chains!
You are a crossing guard.
Personal foul, 15 yards.
And stop blowing that whistle.
Think football? Bank football. Get Patriots banking only from Bank of America. Get the Patriots logo on your checks, debit card, and your Patriots Extra Points credit card. Use Extra Points rewards to get tickets or even stand on the sidelines during pregame warmups. Plus, you get a bonus match on your Keep the Change savings. To get Patriots banking, go to a banking center or bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Delay of game,
but,
5 yards,
but
first down.
But you're not...
Keep the Change patent pending. Credit card programs are issued and administered by FIA Card Services N.A. Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. Copyright 2009. Bank of America Corporation.
Hey, Brian, it's Dad. I heard you won Patriot season tickets for life. Maybe we could grab a game together.
Who's this again?
It's Dad.
What kind of joke is this? You're not my dad.
No, I'm pretty sure I'm your dad.
Yeah, third one today. Okay, Dad, tell me, when's my birthday?
Oh, come on, Bri. You won Patriot season tickets for life. You want to talk about your birthday?
I'm hanging up.
Don't hang up on your father.
Oh, yeah. They'll be coming out of the woodwork once they find out you won season tickets for life on the New England Patriots instant game. You could also win $1 million instantly, plus a boatload of other great prizes.
I could do one of those quick adoptions. We could go to the game together, talk about the old days.
We don't have old days.
Good point.
Bye, Daddy.
Pick up the new Patriots instant game from the Mass State Lottery, masslottery.com.
Man, it's football season. I mean, usually the house is decked out by now. You know, and the football lamps and the big wall posters.
Dude, it is decked out. But this year, I'm working on a higher level.
Yeah, I'm not seeing it.
Well, you're just not on that level. I've got Razor Sharp Fios TV from Verizon, so I don't just watch the game. I feel like I'm in it. The whole place has ultra-quick Fios internet, so my computer becomes my own personal press box.
So, no little football helmet soaps in the bathroom this year?
Sadly, no. But with ESPN MVP, I get stats, scores, and highlights sent straight to my wireless phone.
With Verizon's Fios TV and internet, plus wireless apps like ESPN MVP, you have everything you need to take your football experience to the next level. Verizon, official telecommunications provider of the New England Patriots. Select VCast phone and VPAC subscription required. Fios available in select areas.
You are so far beyond football-shaped serving trays.
50 seasons of New England Patriots football. 3 Super Bowl championships. Endless memories.
It's good! It's good! Adam Vinatieri!
Live them all at the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon. Celebrate the greatest players, moments, and teams in Patriots history with sights and sounds that put you right in the action. Step inside the huddle as Tom Brady calls the plays. Go under the hood and review controversial calls just like a replay official. Learn the playbook from head coach Bill Belichick. Take your best shot at a game-winning field goal in the snow and let the confetti rain down while you gaze at the Patriots' three Vince Lombardi trophies.
Back-to-back, 3 out of 4.
Yes, it's a dynasty. And don't miss the 30-foot-high displays honoring the team's greatest players or the signature film showing the history of football in New England. The Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, is located next to Gillette Stadium in Foxborough, Mass. And is open 7 days a week. Call 508-698-4800 for more information or go online to thehall@patriotplace.com. The Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon. An unforgettable, exciting, interactive experience.
Lunchtime for the boys. Let's listen in. Looks like it's Mexican today.
You know what I love about tacos?
What's that? Everything.
Do tacos get any more kick butt than this?
But with these guys, you have to kick it up a notch.
Oh, they're about to, all right. We take a crunchy all-beef taco, smother it in nacho cheese, lettuce, tomato, and our special Southwestern sauce. Then we wrap it in a soft flour tortilla with a layer of refried beans in between.
Sweet.
Then we wrap that in a savory corn tortilla with a middle layer of Monterey Jack cheese.
Awesome!
And it gets even awesomer when we take a deep-fried gordita shell, smear on a layer of our special guacamolito sauce, and wrap that around the outside.
Andy's head might be big, but what does he think of that?
This is pretty big.
It gets bigger because we bake it in a corn husk filled with pico de gallo, then wrap that in an authentic Parisian crepe filled with egg, gruyere, sausage, and portobello mushrooms.
Paul, what's on your mind?
Can I eat it now?
Sure, but not before we take the whole thing and wrap that in a Chicago-style deep-dish meat lover's pizza.
Fred? Frank? Jake Steele? How's that sound?
Pizza? Now that's what I call a taco.
Well, it's not a taco until we roll it up in a blueberry pancake, dip it in batter, and deep fry it until it's golden brown. Then we serve it all in a commemorative tote bag filled with spicy vegetarian chili. It's 15 great tastes all rolled into one. The new Pizza Crepe Taco Pancake Chili Bag.
It's what's for lunch. Or you can just send pizza and wings and a turkey sub.
All right, welcome back to PFW in Progress. Talking about Sean Merriman. John writes in, he says, give them a Adelius Thomas. I'll drive him there if necessary. Wow.
I won't do that.
That's a little harsh. Yeah, that's a little harsh. I've been critical of AD, but not that critical.
So,
I mean, I really don't know if Merriman's done. I mean, he could be done. AD, at his worst, can still play.
Serviceable.
Trevor writes in. He says, hey, boys, Fred, Andy, Paul, Eric, if you're there and not frustrating other coworkers. I'm a first-time emailer from Canada, but I'm currently employed at an education company in China, and I listen to your podcast all the time while pretending to work at my desk. I caught a video from NFL.com which had some insider views of the Ravens versus the Patriots the other week, and I noticed an interesting cut from the Pats locker room. It seems that Randy is taking on Bruschi's post-game role of the how do you feel chant. What do you think this says about Randy's role as a leader on the team?
He's a captain.
Also, do you think interest in Sale is more to do with depth at linebacker or depth at leadership? Because in my opinion, I think they're covered in both areas. So
covered in both areas?
I think they could use help in both areas.
Yeah.
Well,
I agree.
Maybe he's saying that's what he said. Sale would cover both areas. Maybe that's.
No,
his
it sounded like he
I don't know.
They are. They got it covered in both areas.
Yeah, oh, well, that's what.
I think that they could use Sale in both regards.
I agree.
I don't. You know, and we talked about this a lot. I don't like the idea of this whole thing. But if he comes back and plays, I think they could use him. I mean, I don't think there's any real strong argument.
And we know he's
that.
he's an over the top motivational.
Yeah. Right.
Was it last year they were telling us about the pregame speeches?
Well, somebody said
everybody
this
was
year,
raving about him last
well,
year.
Somebody was saying this year in a recent interview this week that, you know, I've heard his pregame speech and, you know, you're ready to.
Yeah, no, I know. But I'm pretty sure it was the end of last year. He came in and was over the top, like, preacher and motivational leader,
right.
Even though he just got here in December.
Right.
And, I mean, he has that knack. Everybody seems to respect it and doesn't. I think that can go two ways. You can roll your eyes and say, I mean, this guy just got here. What the hell is he doing? But
right.
He seems to get it done in a positive
well,
sense.
Well, from all.
Plus, depth-wise. They've been lucky. They've skirted through since Mayo went down. No one's gotten hurt.
From the quotes that I've heard so far from Tom Brady, Bill Belichick. I think it might have been Adalys Thomas, but one of the linebackers, it might have been Guyton, I'm not sure. But the leadership part might, and the motivational part might be the main factor that they're looking at him.
Could be.
I don't think any of those guys. I wouldn't argue with you.
In the outspoken way, no one's a leader like that on this team right now for the defense, for the linebackers, the front. I mean, I think Mayo is a natural leader, but I still think he's more, I'm going to work harder than anyone. I'm going to make more tackles than anyone. You better fall in line behind me.
And I think they have a lot of those kinds of guys as leaders, to be honest with you. I don't
Jimmy.
I don't think, and I don't think
back
Brady is really a huge rah-rah
guy.
Now, on the sideline,
yes,
in the heat
moment,
of battle, that's
in
different.
In the moment,
that's,
he is.
But that's different.
Yeah, yeah.
I think we're talking, Andy's talking about, you know, Wednesday.
Right.
At a meeting.
Right.
You know, stuff like that. I think Brady is more of a, this is the time we get our preparation done, lead by example, watch
right.
me.
Right.
This is what
right.
I do, watch me.
And knowing when
on the field
to,
is different.
Knowing
Brady's
when
very,
to bring up trash talking or not bring it up or, you know, whatever it is. I think there's a knack there and a feel. And I think Seau seems to be a guy that
I think Seau is a very unique human being.
Well, you know? I think just in the fact that mm-hmm. he's playing the position that he plays at the age of 40 or whatever he is now. I mean, that's you may never see this again.
Yeah, but I think there's a lot to him besides
you may
being
see
a football
it a lot
player.
In the future. I'm just saying.
That's a good point.
Let's see. Aaron in Port Jervis, New York. Wow. You guys need to take it easy on Fred. I thought he was going to have a heart attack on PFW TV.
I was ready.
3-on-1 against Fred is not a good idea. You were arguing about the roughing the passer calls, and his face was getting red. He was sweating.
Andy took the whole segment off. And
I crossed my arms.
I was waiting for him to grab his chest.
I was, too.
Take it easy on the fried dough, or you will not make it through the season.
Well, this week we have butterscotch caramel soft-baked cookies that he's using fork to.
I only had a little bit.
Feed his fat face with. Yep. You really were. Did you see it?
What?
How red you were getting?
I could feel it.
You watched it?
No. I said I could feel it.
No,
it
I was
there.
Asking. Oh. Well, I thought maybe you saw it on TV and you could see
well,
how
I saw
red
it on
it
the little
was.
TVs because I like to watch sometimes in those little cameras.
Oh.
Have you guys probably haven't picked up on it because you don't watch the show, but there's a little game I like to play. When there's a, I believe it's a three shot. Is that the one over to our right near Fred?
I don't know.
And it shoots across and you're talking. I realized once that you can just see the tip of my nose, so now I put it in and pull it out. I pull it in and put it out. Just the tip. Just the tip.
What the hell's he doing?
That's what she said.
He's really just, he's beyond help.
I am as immature as they come. I can't help it.
What's that? Taps? What does that mean?
It's for you about to die.
Oh. That was like, you know, 2 minutes ago.
YouTube was slow.
You got to be a lot quicker on the draw.
I had no idea what he was talking about.
It was still kind of funny.
But yeah, that redness, is that something you've dealt with all your life or is that with the pounds?
I don't know. Joel and Merrimack, I haven't been on TV all my life.
No, I mean, in general, you know
I
it. You said you felt it. Did you get red all your life when arguing or is it just since you put on 25 pounds?
I can recall a few times when I beat the crap out of people, I get red in the face a little bit.
But you weren't physically doing anything. You were sitting there talking and getting redder and redder and redder like your head was going to pop off.
I don't know.
All the
you're
blood was in your head.
Skippy.
I don't know.
I'm just an emotional Italian.
Well, I know, and you've always gotten red.
Right, but I don't see.
I don't really think I do.
You do.
I get all worked up.
When
you're drunk or when you're yelling.
Worked up is one thing. I don't think I get
San
red
Diego,
the way he gets.
You were red.
Joel in Merrimack says, Fred, the answer to the age-old question, what am I going to do when I dribble my food all over myself, is simple. Stop being a slob. Don't ever go to Germany because no one over there uses napkins. They all eat daintily and dab at the corners of their mouths with their knuckles. Of course, they don't do a lot of pasta with tomato sauce kind of foods. Anyway, on to my question. Do you guys, yes, you too, Eric, he's not here, think that the Pats can run against Denver, and if so, why? Can the Patriots run against Denver? I think they better, or they might be in trouble, because I think that the experience in the backfield there for Denver is something to worry about.
Well, I also think if you get real one-dimensional against Denver, I think that pass rush would become an issue.
Mm-hmm.
They have 15 sacks in 4 games.
8 from Doomer.
And I think that would be an issue if you just got one-dimensional and just sort of did the last time. Was it the last time that we played there, the playoff game?
Yeah, I don't know.
Was the playoff game the last game that we played in Denver? And that's what we did that night is we decided we're not running the ball tonight. We're just going to throw it, and they blitzed every play.
Is that how that game went?
Yeah, Andy still hasn't seen it.
A quick injury update or observation. Fred Taylor's chair was folded up and in his stall. No sign of Fred Taylor in the locker room. So
the PFW eyeball test, that is not a good sign.
Not a good sign at all.
Okay.
Okay, while Fred's trying to catch up.
We have seen Gerard Mayo.
Mayo all week.
Walking freely around
the
locker
room. Welker there. Moss there.
Did we find out? I didn't see all the news today, all the newspapers. Was there anything about the Randy Moss not practicing, not injury related?
No, no,
yes. There was something that said that he, well, actually, it was a tweet from Real Patriots that said that Randy did not practice, but it was not injury related.
Oh, we know that, but do you have any more information as to why? What?
You've gotten to the point where you hurt my feelings because you just don't listen.
He just
to
doesn't
me.
Listen to all of us, so that's why you shouldn't be hurt. It's everyone.
That's a good
point. No one's worthy of his time.
Yeah, that information was divulged on the injury report. What I was wondering is if anybody in their notebooks today had a reason for the absence.
Well, there was a tweet from the page. No, I'm only kidding.
While we're wondering that, someone told me that on Real Talk Radio, they're discussing Lawrence Maroney because he kind of threw his offensive line under the bus. Do you know anything about
that?
No. I don't know. I that's all the information.
I read the quotes where he said he's going to take the dissatisfaction with the fans as motivation.
So there was a Lawrence Maroney story today.
Yes.
From who, where?
It was in one of the papers. I read it in the clips.
Did you read anything about him criticizing the offensive line or questioning his blocking?
I didn't read it that closely, so there could have been. I just read some of the quotes about, you know, he's hearing some of the boos and he's taking it as motivation.
Yeah, he always says that crap. And he thinks about the media when he breaks away.
I saw Maroney yesterday, and I didn't see him talking to anybody.
Okay.
Because he was walking. He was a moving target. And I actually made the point to you, Fred, that he looked very sullen in the locker room. And usually, you had made the comment, usually he's the opposite. He's always looking to joke and with his teammates and with the media. But I didn't see anybody talking to him.
Okay.
David writes in, the first thing I would like to say is, Paul, give Ron Papil a call. Bald and angry is no way to go through life. See, people are watching this PFW TV show.
I don't know who
now.
Ron Papil is.
He's like the before Billy Mays, he was the guy.
Oh.
Set it and forget it and the dehydrator.
And he has hair?
I don't know what the hair thing is.
Yeah, he might have sold at one time some.
He probably has the spray paint or something.
Yeah. Fred, you homer, I love you. Andy is right about most of the NFL BS. Brother, you still have a gigantic head, though.
That's true.
Eric, I sort of feel bad for the guy. You can't make fun of him anymore for being a BU kicker, but can I make fun of him for being a manly artist? Wink, wink. Well, see, there's a turnabout right there. It's fair play.
I know what he's talking
about. Yeah.
He can no longer make fun of the BU kicking thing because
it
wasn't true.
Right.
I see where he went there.
I love the show. Keep it up. My first game was at Old Foxborough in 87. I was 9 years old, so I think I'm a true Pats fan. That's Gonzo in West Virginia.
Rand? No, is that West Virginia?
Mm-hmm.
Rand.
What about it?
Rand University.
That's where Moss is from, as his jacket pointed out when he went to the podium last week. Big picture of the state with a star that said Rand.
Denise. Spelled D-E-N-I-Z.
Writes in, on Denise.
He says he quotes from the NFL.com rulebook. No defensive player who has an unrestricted path to the quarterback may hit him flagrantly in the area of the knees or below when approaching in any direction. Suggs clearly lunged at Brady's knee and seemed to make contact no matter how slight. It is a penalty. It was committed. It was called. What's the argument?
Is the argument.
Let me update the argument.
Well, can I finish the mail first?
Let me update the argument. Mike Pereira went with, as the official response from the league, he does those little things.
Yeah.
The rule does state forcibly hit, but forcible is up to the interpretation of the official. He deemed it forcible in that, and they're going to support the officials because, basically, your theory, they want them to err on the side of protecting everyone. They want to get players used to not hitting. So they are backing up the official, but it certainly has the word forcible is there for a reason, but it's up to the interpretation of the guy throwing the flag every week.
And in that regard, I agree with the way Fred talked about it the last 2 days.
But I think
I agree with you guys. They should rewrite that thing
because that's a misleading word.
It is. It's a poor word choice.
Well, and now he goes on to criticize us. I get that some people think the rules are taking away from the game, but they are what they are. Love the show, but hated when you guys got bogged down on this one topic for an hour on Tuesday. Then, after promising not to, you continued it yesterday. Maroney runs for an average of negative 0.85 yards per carry. Fred Taylor limps off the field. Will Brandon Tate eventually take Galloway's spot? Will the return of Mayo imminent? How much better will the D be? Do we miss Seymour, and if so, how much? Do we have a game this weekend we might be able to talk about? These are all much more interesting topics.
And we talked about all of them except Seymour.
We are 3-1.
Every single one.
Which happened 8 weeks ago.
Right.
We are 3-1 and going into a stretch of games that could see us at 6-1 going into the bye. And by the way, it takes less than 20 pounds of pressure to injure a knee joint. So he goes on to talk about it. So,
right.
You know, but see, that's the problem with it. Nobody wants to hear us talk about
but
they all want to get
right.
their point in, and I understand that.
Plus, who is he? Yeah. Was he the new program director?
He's Denise.
He's the
program
director.
Get up,
Denise.
You're blowing the show.
Just because you think all of those things are more relevant right now, I think a lot of people post-Ravens game were interested in the roughing the passer calls.
Right.
I think that was a key element of the game. And by the way, on Wednesday, we didn't talk about the roughing the passer calls. We switched the argument to you thinking that the game was easier than you thought it was going to be. That had nothing to do with the roughing the passer calls.
He says, I get that Paul and Andy may not want the call to be part of the game, and I respect their right to feel that way and express that opinion. But is it really worth more than a quick, you're out of your mind by Paul and a right by Fred? One final thought. It amazes me.
We'll keep that in mind going forward, buddy.
That would be good radio.
Yeah.
One final thought. It amazes me that Ray Lewis was able to see that penalty or lack thereof so clearly while at the same time taking care of his own assignment. Maybe that is why Brady burned him for a TD run. He was busy worrying about the refs doing their job correctly and not busy enough worrying about doing his job correctly.
Yeah, he stinks.
Or maybe he was bitter about the special treatment the QBs get. Nobody should get special treatment. Hey, by the way, how did that whole murder thing work out for you?
Ooh. That was sarcasm, right? Not the murder part, but
I
maybe
hate
he
Ray
was
Lewis,
bitter about...
Right. He didn't murder anybody.
Right.
He might have.
He obstructed justice.
I think he obstructed justice.
Right.
But he copped the plea. Had nothing to do with being an athlete.
Wow. Let's see.
It's true.
You're not defending him, are you?
No, I hate Ray Lewis, and you know that I wouldn't take him on my team. I've said that many times. I don't care how many All-Pro nominations he gets. I'd rather win with other guys.
Yeah, I know. Paul would have the nicest...
And I would lose.
Terriblest.
I don't even know if I could manage two wins, Fred. I don't
but
know
who's
if I could
on
do
your
it.
Team? Like, that's the funny part, because...
Brady would be on my team.
No, he's right. Get the kid out of wedlock, Paul.
That's not the
same thing. Please, Fred, come on.
I don't know what is the same thing in your book.
But, like, he hates the overachievers. He hates the talented murderers who are problem child. Like, right. He has such a fine window. They have to be great athletes who are also perfect citizens. So there's, like,
they don't have to be
your 53-man roster has three people on it.
They don't have to be perfect
No, he likes
citizens.
Randy Moss.
I love Randy Moss.
Yeah.
Okay.
They don't have to be perfect citizens. I mean,
but Wes Welker can't make it because he's overachieving. He's overrated. He's a talentless.
He's on the list.
But that's
pile of coins.
But you're confusing.
He's easily
the issue
replicated.
Here. Well, I think there's
all right. Stop.
Of truth
Come
to
on. We're having a good show here. Don't get into that.
Yeah, we don't need to go down that road.
I'll play the role of the emailers. No, just you say right. You say that's ridiculous, and let's
out of
move
your
on.
Mind.
Right. Rob in Marlboro, Mass., he says, I would say that the league overprotects quarterbacks. It is getting to be a little much. That said, when Tom takes any hit on his knee and looks for a flag, that's part of the game. It is a rule. He's allowed to use it like any other. It's no different than a receiver looking for an interference flag. Don't hate the player. Hate the game.
I do.
When I heard Rodney's comments, I thought it was a good-natured shot at Tom for looking for a flag. Then I heard his interview about it, and he went really far overboard, backpedaling, talking about how great Tom is and what good friends they are and blah, blah, blah. He should have either stood by his comment or just said he was kidding and dropped it. So I kind of – I
the Rodney thing
yeah.
Is a separate issue, but again, I think all three of us totally agree on this, so maybe we won't offend Denise on this one. but I think it's being misinterpreted. I think all three of us feel – the problem with the Brady reaction had nothing to do with him turning to the referee, sort of lobbying for the flag, just like wide receivers do after every incomplete pass. The difference is wide receivers don't laugh about the call and go and taunt the cornerback if the flag then comes and say, geez, you didn't even touch me, which is basically, not in so many words, what Brady was reported to have done on the field. We saw his reaction.
Right.
Ray Lewis says that he started laughing and said, wow, that was a cheap one.
Yeah,
now, maybe he didn't say that, but that reaction, the laughing, the gesturing, is what Rodney and other people were talking about with Brady. Not the fact that he looked to the ref and asked for a flag. Everybody does that.
Right. And that's the part I agree with. We all agree, and I agree with Rodney about, and I don't see why he had to backpedal about that. You know?
Well, I just think that people somehow took it that he was questioning Brady's toughness.
Right.
And nothing could have been further from the truth. And I think you hit the nail right on the head immediately on Sunday. We heard that live, Fred,
right?
Remember?
Yeah.
And you said he's not talking about Brady not being tough.
Right.
He's talking about the other stuff, the clapping and the gesturing to the defense, the na-na-na-na, as Andy put it.
Right, because he needs to put slacks on.
Slacks.
Because tough guys wear slacks.
Tough guys wear sins about slacks.
Right.
Trousers.
On Wednesday, you asked about possible running backs for next year. I agree, Maroney is gone. Fred Taylor, I think, will be back.
Sammy Moore.
I don't know. Was this in our show? Oh, this is a playbook
show.
Question.
Oh, there you go.
Never mind. Delete.
Don't steal it. Okay.
Wow, you're not even reading it?
No, you got it on playbook, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so we don't need to. I sent this email kind of late yesterday, so I'm not sure you were able to read it. Is this also playbook?
Oh, for crying out loud.
I don't know. I'll read it anyway.
All right, read it. Anyway.
You're a true professional.
Thanks, Ivan. Thanks.
Some good and some bad from the game Sunday. First, the bad.
Love you, Ivan.
Sure, the refs are looking to help prevent injuries to the quarterback and have gone a bit overboard in making these calls, but doesn't it apply to both teams' quarterbacks? And didn't the Ravens benefit from a roughing the quarterback call and had several penalties against the Patriots that they could have used to keep their drives going but were declined? My take is none of these calls helped the team score because they didn't give either team first and 10 on the goal line. Both still had to continue to drive for the scores. I have to say that the Baltimore coaching staff didn't do themselves any favors by complaining so much about those calls, and it got them an unsportsmanlike conduct penalty. I think they did just as much to hurt themselves as the refs might have done. The drop ball that helped the Patriots preserve their win was something that has happened to other teams that have failed to make those plays against the Patriots in the past and to the Patriots themselves. You can't just say that the team would have scored if it was complete. A lot of things could have happened after that to prevent it. Now the good. I say that having the offense not being as prolific as 07 and not running up big leads has helped the young Patriots defense get ahead of the curve with some character building, hard-fought, close wins, and of course a loss. I think the offense will eventually get rolling, and then the defense will benefit from other teams having to go outside their game plans to catch up. This should lead to more interceptions. That's James from Roanoke Rapids, North Carolina. So, you guys are totally disinterested.
No, I'm not. But I think we talked a lot about this stuff. First of all, there's no such thing as a penalty that gives you a first down on the goal line. So, based on that, you can't ever have a penalty that helps you score.
Well, you can have pass interference in the end zone.
At the 1 yard line, not the goal line, like he says.
Oh, okay.
So evidently, there's no such thing as a penalty that can help you score. The fact of the matter is the Ravens got 3 third down penalties on failed third downs that would have resulted in punts that gave the Patriots first downs on 3 scoring drives. Right?
Right.
So we can say definitively they wouldn't have scored on those drives had those penalties not been called. Right?
Like extended drives, absolutely.
So that I think that was what the Ravens' beef was after the game. Not, you know, it was saying they did as much to hurt themselves by getting an unsportsmanlike conduct penalty. Well, they had, what, 9 penalties for 85 yards? That was 1.
And they hurt themselves. I mean, there's no question
they
that
hurt
hurts
they,
you. Because
all of that
in
happened.
In the heat of the moment, that's easy to say when you're getting hosed.
Right, because all of that happened.
You react.
And James is right. All of that happened, and if Mark Clayton catches the ball, they have first and goal with the 8. Minimum. Might have been even closer.
I'd still like to know how Harbaugh got a penalty. You just never see it. I mean,
I'm very surprised because you don't see those calls in the NFL.
Somebody said, come on, Harbaugh.
What?
You don't remember that quote?
I'm surprised you remember it because that quote was uttered by Chris Walsh, who played center field for my BU baseball team.
Is that right?
And he used to hate Jim Harbaugh because he's a huge Chicago Bears fan.
Yeah, I think Brian Mora used to say it all
right,
the time.
Right, who also played right field for the BU baseball team.
Yilmaz is from Austria.
Ooh.
Not Australia.
Is that
Austria.
A new one? We got a doctor. We got a pin in Austria.
How about another shrimp on the barbie?
No, Austria.
Oh.
Deutsch.
New Jersey?
In the last show, you talked about the fans in Foxborough not being very loud. What's the reason for that? Don't you have any kind of organized fan clubs like the Ultras here in Europa that could get people more excited? Going to the game
Ultras?
Would be far more exciting and interesting. Thanks for the great show. Keep it going.
I'm not sure anyone can put their finger on why the crowd is not great.
Yeah, we don't have like I know what he's talking about. Like, for the Revolution, they have a section of the fans called the Fort, And the fort is, like, always on their feet. They're always going. In Brazil, they have the people that come with the drums. And you don't. We don't have that here.
Why not? Why don't you do it? Be like the guy in the barrel in Denver that wears nothing but the barrel.
Right.
Especially since you hate wearing pants.
Yeah, you hate wearing pants.
Yeah, but the barrel is hard to maneuver in. You know,
give you plenty of air for your, you know.
So, no, but look, the answer to your question is why aren't they loud? I just think it's just New England people in general.
No.
I do.
I think there's a little bit of apathy's not the right word, but complacency.
You know,
complacency might be the right word. They've won so much that I got to tell you, Fred, in the late 90s when they started getting good, there were some really loud games.
But doesn't Fenway and the Garden get loud?
And into 2001.
Well, the Garden, when Larry Bird
No,
was
I mean
playing.
The Garden now. I'm not talking about the old Garden.
I don't think Fenway was anywhere near as loud as it was 3 or 4 years ago.
You go to a Celtics game and they have meters, you know, get
now,
loud.
The Celtics games are a lot louder, but they had such bad teams until 2 years ago. But
I just say it's all the same people. If they can get loud in one place,
I don't think the Fenway crowd is anywhere near as rabid as it was 3 years ago.
Here's what I think.
No, I wouldn't say, but I still think they get loud at times, louder than this place gets.
I think there's an innate, it's inbred, innate, whatever you want to call it, cynicism and skepticism in New England people.
Oh, yeah.
That prohibits them.
I'm the poster child of that.
And that part of them prohibits them from being unabashed, uninhibited fans.
But don't you think there was an element of,
you know, like
2001, Fred?
Like
you don't
me.
Think it was a lot louder in 2001? The first time around? Like, oh, my
God,
this is
unbelievable.
But was the
other place louder? I mean, is the stadium have something to do with it?
I think there's an element of that,
too. Is Foxborough louder than
Gillette? Just like the Garden is nowhere near as loud as the old Garden.
But that's proven. I'm asking this more as a question.
In PFW, we had that issue that was called the silence of the fans. That was before the new stadium. We've been always talking about this.
Well, I understand that, but I'm talking about when they won.
Well, I mean,
in 1999, there was a reason to be quiet.
I know, but the Pittsburgh game and the Jacksonville playoff games in 96, yes, it was incredible.
Rabid.
But which tells me they could do it if they wanted to. Why is it
now
just those
we get
games?
Into it?
But that's what I'm
now
saying.
Now we get into the price of the ticket and the demographic of the crowd.
Well, I think that's an element too.
Where the old school and the old stadium, where they passionate, drunk, get kicked off Monday Night Football type fans, and the new stadium, it's let's have 17 tailgate parties out in the luxury lot and wine and cheese.
I think I'm trying to think now, but I think I paid something like $400 for my season tickets in '96.
Now you can get a couple tickets to a game.
Maybe.
Right. Yeah,
and get your deal if you need it.
You certainly can't go to the day for $400 for a couple.
Oh
minutes.
God, no.
So that's another
reason, Fred. The NFL is pricing themselves out of business.
I do think there's an element of that. Obviously, Andy taking the Andy approach that he just wants to do.
there's a crack in the foundation; it's all crumbling.
And that definitely happened. We saw that happen firsthand, Fred, in the Garden with the Celtics in the '80s.
Oh,
that became a wine and cheese crowd.
Well, yeah, but they were pretty loud too.
But you think about. From the early 80s when Larry Bird, you know, really came into his prime compared to like 86, 87, 88.
Well, then it was not good, right?
Well, because it was a wine and cheese crowd. All of a sudden, those courtside seats weren't held by, you know, Joe from South Boston. It was the president of Pratfield.
That old Garden would rock.
Unbelievable.
My God. They would, you know, with a commercial break, they'd get up and they would be roaring throughout the whole commercial break. And they'd come back, you know, live, and people would still be on their feet just going crazy. Those were the days.
But this almost goes back to what you guys were talking about in lacrosse yesterday with Rook about how the leagues have stepped in, and, you know, a Celtics game has a lot more gimmicks and things that you can do to incite the crowd that you can't get away with in the NFL.
Right. You know, I don't think
what we get back to game day experience.
I hate that artificial stuff, Jason. I hear what you say. I hate that stuff, though, but you're right. Why not let stadiums do what they're going to do to get people going.
I agree with that, but I don't think that's the problem because the other stadiums do not have the same issues.
Yeah.
I can't imagine that they're calling New England and saying you can't do A, B, and C, but in Kansas City and in Denver and the other places that allow Seattle, it's okay to do those things.
No, those guys know how to do it on their own. They don't need the artificial stimulation.
So I don't really think – that's why I didn't really understand John's whole point.
I just got Andy's
attention. He said he wasn't asked to stop doing the first down thing. The NFL doesn't tell him not to
just
do the first down
thing. Tone it down a little.
But he does. That's another Patriots, and half the crowd says first down. The other half doesn't. In Denver,
says F you.
in Denver, the PA guy says, and the pass was, in whatever the amount of capacity, they all do in unison, right. Incomplete.
Right.
And it might sound like a silly, stupid
but
thing,
it's
but
part
it's
of the event.
Cool.
Do you remember when we were in Champaign, Illinois?
Yeah, I wasn't there.
There's a flag.
You didn't go to that game?
No.
They have this thing, you know, we played the game once at the University of Illinois because Soldier Stadium was under construction.
Soldier Stadium.
And
in Yankee Field.
I swear he does it on purpose.
They have this thing at the University of Illinois where the announcer will go, you know, the PA guy will go, there's a flag. And all the fans will go, where? And he says, on the field. And they go, oh. And it's stupid, but they it's part of the being there.
But
you know?
it's just the point I think that I agree with Fred is it's there's no artificial enhancement to it. It's just that the fans are involved in the game more so than I think they are around here.
Yeah.
I blame the director of Game Day Entertainment. Is that your title?
Nope.
Oh. What's
who,
your title?
Who would that be then, just in case Andy's going to get fired?
We don't have one.
That could be a problem.
That's unfortunate.
Maybe that's the problem.
Let's see. Tim from Chicopee. Oh, actually, let's take a phone call. Chris from with a TIAN is on the phone. Chris, how you doing?
Okay, guys. What's going on?
What's up, Chris? Christian? Where you been?
You know, plugging away. It's the Dakota Pole. I didn't want to call and get crazy after the Jet game, so I just took a deep breath and, you know, starting to rally the troops here at the Dakota Pole at 3-1. So, you know, just trying to take it slow. I've learned over these years to not get so crazy about every game and just, you know,
it's a marathon, not a sprint, right?
Absolutely, absolutely, yeah. I mean, I still live and die with every game like Sunday, which was great. But, you know, I know it's a long season, so just waiting for January and hopefully February, Fred and gentlemen. So That's what we want to do. Andy, y'all 1-3. You beat me last week in fantasy football, by the way.
Oh, I did?
Win. Yeah.
Well, I forgot my login again, so I couldn't
check.
You have
Minnesota's defense Monday night, so.
Yeah, baby.
Yeah, you tore it up.
Jared Allen.
Yep.
Have one on me, buddy.
It was a beast.
I
wanted to chime in on the John Harbaugh. Well, you guys didn't know why he got the penalty?
Yeah, do you know?
Well, from watching the game, I think it was after the Nada penalty,
yep.
The 15-yarder. They showed him on the sideline, and he was barking, I think, at the side judge.
Well, I saw that, yeah.
And he was saying, that's a BS call, that's a BS call. And he just kept saying it. And then they panned to the field, and they showed the ref, and that's when he called the timeout, or the umpire, I guess. Okay. And he called a timeout, and then that's when they said on sportsmanlike conduct.
Well, that's a quick flag.
But they must have warned. There had to have been a series of warnings and steps. It couldn't have just won BS.
That's what everybody seems to be saying. They heard him say it was a BS call.
You tell me Bill has never, in any of those rants we see him, has never said BS?
Listen, short of, you know, attacking the guy personally in terms of, you know, his family or something like that, I can't really imagine a scenario in the NFL where you're calling a sideline penalty on anybody.
Well, here's where I could. And we may not have heard it, but that's a BS call. That's a BS call. What are you, on the take? That's a BS call.
Yeah,
all you have to do is say that, and now you got a flag.
No.
I saw him do it twice, and then after the penalty, they went back to the sideline, and he's like running down, not running, but like walking real fast on the sideline towards the side judge, and he's going, you can read his lips, hey, is that on me? Hey, is that on me? And the side judge nods his head. He goes, you know what? That's a BS call. And turns around and walked away. That's what I could read. You know,
I'd have had more respect for the official if he threw another one on him right then.
Yeah. So he was crazy. Like even like an assistant came over to him, was like trying to like, you know, just like walk beside him. But
which kind of explains the end of the game, the second to last possession when they had the 4th and 1 and they thought they got screwed on the spot. And and they show Harbaugh on the sideline. He's going, that's all right. You know how sarcastic that must have been?
Right. Oh, he was just disgusting.
Yeah, he was beaten down.
That's all right.
Playing the role of Andy.
Because you know what he was thinking? He was thinking, you know, the total exaggeration. Doesn't matter. If we score, they're going to say it doesn't count anyway.
Right.
So
right.
What's the difference?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you could definitely get that feeling. But, yeah, I mean, that's what I just saw. I just want to let you know. Can I say anything about injuries and what I sort of kind of...
Yes.
I don't know now. Fred?
Yes.
What? I don't know. What are you going to say?
Say whatever you want. You're a caller. You don't have to ask our permission.
Just screen it with Doc. Yeah.
You're not under the same rules that we are.
Just don't swear.
Okay.
The opinions of Chris with the TIN are not necessarily those of PFW, its staff, or the organization of the New England Patriots. Go.
Don't blame us for what this nitwit says.
We just see it entertained. I usually go to Whole Foods, the MS General.
Yeah.
And there's a guy in there that I go back and forth with because he's an Oakland Raiders fan, and I just told him every time I see him, you should just stick your head in the ground because they're terrible. And we laugh and we joke. And last week he told me, he goes, hey, I saw Wes Welker. He told me he's going to play this week. And Wes Welker played last week. And I pulled in this week, and I go, hey, you got any injury updates for me? He goes, yeah, I saw Fred Taylor on crutches.
Oh, boy.
Wow.
I go, really? He goes, yeah. He goes, what did he say? He goes, I don't know. It doesn't look good. He's out 2 to 4 weeks.
Wow. 2 to 4 weeks on Fred Taylor, according to Christian.
I'm running with it. I'm blogging it later. I don't know about Fred Taylor, but I do know that Wes Welker lives in that area.
Okay.
Yeah, I see him around all the time. I always see him in town. I used to see Brady a lot. I don't see him anymore, but I see guys here and there. When I'm not working.
So 2 to 4 weeks. Did you see what he just did? We're on the radio, Paul. 2 to 4 weeks.
Yeah, but you're here.
For Fred Taylor. That's not good, and that would fall in line with why we saw his chair folded up and tucked away in his locker like there was no sign of him.
That's why I said it now.
I'll have to take the blame for that. I paroled another player right after saying, ride him until the season's over and point counter point.
I guess I win that one.
The next game. Dead.
So I hope he's wrong. Maybe he might have just been pulling my leg. I don't know, but that's what the guy told me.
All right.
But usually he was pretty good. But
keep talking to that guy, though.
Those who have been petitioning for Ben Jarvis Green Ellis might get their wish this week.
I think you'll get him this week, I think you'll need him because, like I said, with Denver, I don't think you want to go into the game and plan on giving one guy most of the carries.
No, especially if you're going to keep having Maroney do the kickoffs, you're going to have Green Ellis available.
Word.
Yep.
You know?
So now you think Joey Galloway's all done or what? You think he plays this week?
I think he does.
I do too.
Yeah. It looks that way. He's been in the locker room a lot this week. Which
really
hasn't.
Yeah, I hope it works out. I'm not like everybody else.
Yeah,
before.
I do.
Really
I hope it works out. Why wouldn't anyone?
I am not rooting against him.
Yeah, I'm frustrated, but I don't dislike the guy. I want him to do well.
Yeah, that's.
Sounds like a very nice man, actually.
Yeah. I think he is a pretty nice guy. And you know, listen.
But I was rooting for Donald Hayes, too.
It's unfortunate because this guy's had a pretty good career.
Yeah.
And people in New England think he's an absolute stiff because he has done nothing here.
Right.
So, yeah, I think we're all rooting for him.
All right.
Check in with your guy.
All right.
2 to 4 weeks. Freddie Taylor, according
to
Christian.
Whole Foods information. All right. 118. Let's take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
At American Airlines, we know it seems like you're on the road almost as much as your favorite sports team. We know you've scheduled a business trip to a city where your team happens to be playing that night. And we know that on every trip, you inevitably forget to bring a toothbrush. But you never forget that old pair of socks you wear on game day to bring your team luck. We know for you, it's not just a seat on a flight to a place. It's a seat on a flight to your life. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
Okay, so to recap, these are last year's sales results, and here's how we stand now. I need some clutch players who can get us some numbers up on the board. Ted.
Yes, sir.
In the fourth quarter.
Fourth quarter.
We've come from behind in the fourth quarter before. Ted,
what?
I need you here in the shotgun. Put on this helmet.
It's a garbage can.
Do it.
But it's dark in here.
Susan!
Yes?
What? You're going to reverse right and then break left at the cubicle.
What?
I am?
Let's go!
Mr. Krevelin?
That was awkward.
Think football? Bank football. Get Patriots banking only from Bank of America. Get the Patriots logo on your checks, debit card, and your Patriots Extra Points credit card. Use Extra Points rewards to get tickets or even stand on the sidelines during pregame warm-ups. Plus, you get a bonus match on your Keep the Change savings. To get Patriots banking, go to a banking center or bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Yes.
What?
Yes.
What?
You can take the trash can off now.
What?
Keep the Change patent pending. Credit card programs are issued and administered by FIA Card Services and Bank of America and a member FDIC. Copyright 2009, Bank of America Corporation.
Hello?
Well, it's that time of year again where Sunday means you're doing something football. Whether it's tailgating in the parking lot, throwing the pigskin around, or just hanging in and watching the game on the tube, it's all about football. And when you're not watching football or playing football, well, I think we both know you're thinking football. And all that can make you a little hungry. That's why there's the tasty snack wrap from McDonald's. Snack wraps now come in your choice of three flavors. New Chipotle barbecue, honey mustard, and ranch. And they're available with grilled or crispy chicken. Delicious and easy to eat. It's the perfect game time snack. So grab one today. And when you do, if you're looking at that chicken select and it kind of reminds you of a quarterback in the middle of the pocket, except now he's surrounded by cheddar jack cheese, ranch sauce, and lettuce, well, maybe you're thinking just a little too much about football. McDonald's. I'm loving it.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Rock the Plaza every Saturday and Sunday, to the Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday, to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
All right, back here at PFW in progress. She's a very kinky girl. The kind you don't bring home to mother. Paul used to get down to this song, right, Paul?
I like Rick James.
In the clubs in Medford and Malden.
I can funk.
Yeah, absolutely.
Medford and Malden.
I don't think there are any clubs in Medford. There's one in Malden.
I don't think there's any in Medford.
I don't think there's any in Medford.
No. Aaron in Sterling, Virginia. Hey, Fred, I love how some guys would give up 19-0 season in order to have Brady for 10 more years, and then they cry about the rules that help quarterbacks have careers anywhere close to a decade. Big Head and Paul have convinced me again. Give me back the 19-0 because no quarterback is going to last three seasons under their rules. Get that right.
It's funny they did forever.
Good. Brent says, Fred plus Andy plus Grumpy. They do that stupid...
Eric's not here.
They do that stupid there's a flag where on the field thing at Soldier Field as well. And it is fun.
Or stadium.
As for the first down thing, it used to be you could hear it on TV. Now nothing. As for the noise at Gillette, I think that the middle section, being the premium red cushy seats, really just takes the volume down so much. I do think that the crowd is more reserved, but part of that is because you get the feeling now that if you put one hair out of place, they eject you and revoke your tickets.
I have heard a lot of people complain about that.
I think that's an excuse.
I think so, too, but I have heard a lot of complaints about it.
Yeah, but no one...
If you stand up, you get yelled at for standing up.
I think it's more the red thing.
It's an exaggeration.
Because I do think on our end by the press box, when there's big plays down there, it gets pretty loud, and those end zone seats are always up and seem pretty raucous.
The red seat thing is absolutely valid.
Yeah.
Absolutely valid.
He says...
And the two midfield sections on either side.
Yeah.
They're outstanding.
He says it might not be true about the ejection thing, but that is the perception that's out there. It has helped keep some of the shenanigans out, but it also makes for a more quiet, reserved crowd. I just think there needs to be a middle ground.
I mean, do they just allow anarchy in other places that allow crowds where you can just...
No, you go to Kansas City, there can't be a nicer bunch of people than, you know, Kansas City, Missouri.
That might be an element that makes it different, though.
There's just not as many douches there, so you don't have to be as...
Right.
They're animals. You know, I don't think you'd probably have that kind of, you know, leniency in Philly either.
Right.
Or the Jets.
Right. Well, here's another person. Todd says, EEI was discussing the crowd early in the week. People were being yelled at by other fans for standing up and yelling. ESPN said that the Patriots were the second highest team to attend at over $600 per game. At these prices, people want to sit down and enjoy every minute of the game. Why can't you enjoy every minute of the game standing up? And being into it.
I don't look, I was never a huge, like, stand up and jumping down and scream and all that stuff, but I never yelled at anybody for standing up in front of me. If the guys were all standing up in front of me, I stood up so I could see.
Right.
I don't really understand why that takes away your enjoyment of the game.
I don't know. You know, we're not at the symphony.
If anything, it's what you talk about, Fred. It becomes more of an interactive experience and something you can't get sitting on your couch.
See, now,
if you want to sit on your couch, you can sit on your couch.
What,
no one's going to walk in front.
What pissed me off is if you got some idiot jumping up on every offensive play, every play.
Well, that's what ends up happening. And that's the stuff. See, you always make fun of me for that. But that's the Pittsburgh and Jacksonville playoff games you talked about earlier. I stood for 60 minutes in those games.
Right.
Well, the playoff games, they were huge. But it's the first quarter of the game against the Arizona Cardinals that I'm not necessarily looking to stand up. You know, if it's, you know, the fourth quarter of a tie game and it's third down, believe me, I'm up there screaming just like everybody else. But I think there's a difference there, and I think some of the people like that that you guys are talking about. They pay a lot of money, and they want the experience of being able to see it. That's what they're complaining about.
Eric.
Fred.
Eric's here, just back from practice, wearing a sharp brown crew neck sweater.
Sharp, thank you.
Yes,
Fred.
Very nice.
Thank you.
Is that, what is that? Is that cashmere?
Yes.
It is?
Yeah.
Wow.
So you can call it cashmere then, because that is actually a cashmere.
Cashmere.
Sweater.
Very nice. So what's going on, Eric? You just came from practice.
Yep.
Fred Taylor.
Once again, yeah, there was no Fred Taylor.
He's out 2 to 4 weeks.
2 to 4 weeks.
We have sources.
He's got a
thing. Sources?
We got a source.
When did we get sources?
We have call-in sources.
Oh, really?
Chris with a TIAN.
He's got a guy. He's got a guy.
Really?
Yeah, he was on crutches.
He's got a guy who told us about the thing.
Oh, okay.
He's got a guy who told us about the thing.
All right, so
we're running with it.
So in 4 weeks.
Somebody, put it on Pat's fans, according to Christian.
Okay.
No, don't put it on Pat's fans.
Not according to us. Please, God,
then someone might listen to the rest of the show and find, and find 12 other things to complain about.
By the way, I think I neglected to mention this yesterday. We had a new player.
How many of your players had a leg amputated?
How many of your practice reports do you need to update a day later?
We talked about the practice squad yesterday.
This is the second one
so
far this year. Yeah.
In a week.
Right. Practice squad guy, did you talk about him?
Yeah, Bruce Davis.
Bruce Davis, yeah.
UCLA.
He came yesterday,
he got
so yeah,
signed.
He's not a big deal.
He had five deep in the locker room,
Andy
only in New England.
Andy talked about him.
And I don't mean fingers.
Good
God almighty.
Fred.
What?
I thought we were safe. I thought we were safe. I thought enough had passed, but no.
For once, Andy didn't chuckle.
Whew. So good news, Moss was back on the field, changing subjects pretty quickly.
Yeah.
Non-football related absence yesterday, so there was
You sort of predicted.
Well,
you said you weren't sure he was dealing with an injury.
Yeah, so that was confirmed by the injury report.
I'm giving you props, Eric.
Thank you, Paul. Thank you. I appreciate that. But bad news: Adalys Thomas was not there today.
Oh,
he was in the locker room.
I saw him
today.
In the locker room. Wonder if his absence was also not injury related.
Maybe he is being traded for Sean Merriman.
Is that what you proposed earlier?
No, I didn't. Somebody did. Oh. They would drive him to the airport and make that a.
Well, you know about our Sean Merriman thing, though, that Andy brought up in the locker room.
Yep.
Got a little traction, which I was surprised.
Yeah.
No, that's.
Throw that on.
That's
Pat's
talk radio worthy.
Again,
talk
don't
radio
listen
worthy
to it, though.
So that's it. Full pads again, Fred. Serious week today. There's 2 days in a row now with full pads.
Now, what will you tell us tomorrow about today's practice?
No, that's just Wednesdays. That's just Wednesdays.
Did I mention yesterday that Brady was throwing with his left hand?
One thing I did notice
out of the Wildcat.
Speaking of throwing, though, did you ever notice that Chris Hansen, left-footed punter,
noticed.
Is a right-handed thrower?
Son of a bitch.
Who'd have thunk?
I never noticed that.
Yeah.
That
he
is
was throwing
all.
The
I
ball
noticed
today in practice.
He blew a fake play by not, you know, getting a little trigger-happy and calling for the ball too soon or not giving Chris Baker time to set.
Paul, let me ask you a question.
That.
Because you're
Fred,
a baseball guy.
Ask me.
Why is it in baseball that an ambidextrous pitcher can't just go back and forth whenever he likes?
I think they put a rule in to say he could only switch once per at-bat.
Oh, so within a bat he can switch? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, why? Who cares?
Well, because then if it's like a switch hitter, you're going back and forth.
It's a mockery of the game.
Yeah,
you know
but
I mean?
That's not a mockery.
No, but
that's,
they can dance.
Like your talent.
But no,
then the guy steps off, puts the glove on the other hand, so the batter goes to the other side, and all of a sudden it's a 45-hour game.
And he never throws a pitch. Like if I'm lefty and the batter's a switch hitter and he's batting righty,
I see.
Then I'm going to switch to play righty and the batter's going to go to bat left. So
it's just a mockery.
Now, you can switch batter to batter.
Oh, you. But what about a batter? What about a switch hitter? Can he go like strike one on left side and then go on the other side of the pitch?
Yes.
You can. How come we don't see that more often?
Because why would you ever want to?
I don't know.
They play the percentages
in
games.
The reason
right?
you switch, the games? Reason you switch hit is so you can always face the opposite.
Right.
So if you're a righty batter, you're always facing lefty pitching.
Right.
You would never want to switch to bat lefty against a lefty.
Okay.
It's like in the Princess Bride, right? When he's what you don't know is I'm not left-handed. He switches to the right hand.
The only time you would ever see any change from that is like against Wakefield. A lot of times they do that. The knuckleball pitchers.
Right.
Some guys don't want to ruin their swings and. Knuckleball sometimes dips down and into a righty.
Yeah.
So they like that.
Okay. Just curious. Because I remember
it's
Greg
not
Harris.
Not five deep or anything, but.
They like Greg Harris had the ambidextrous glove, and I always wonder why. Hey.
Yeah, there's a guy in the Yankees farm system right now who supposedly throws.
It's a good thing I can't make jokes about Eric anymore.
Guy who throws 90 plus.
Just saying, this line of topic would be troublesome. By the way, we're also not allowed to talk about your BU kicking career, an emailer accurately pointed out. We're not allowed to joke about that because it's not true.
Right, yeah.
You made the rules.
You
we're
can
just
joke
playing
about that
by
all
them.
You want, my friend.
We can't.
I'm my friend.
I'm no
yeah.
friend of yours.
It's true.
Eric just took a spit take.
Neither.
What?
That's a call a spit take when you drink your drink and you laugh and you spit it out.
I call it a snarf.
Yeah.
I've heard more snarf.
AKA
than
snarf.
Spit
or
take.
Shane Donaldson.
Spit take. You have to be in the business.
In the entertainment
to know that.
Business, we right. call it a spit take.
Have you seen your spot yet?
My spot. The Stop and Shop?
Yeah.
One? No, that's
yeah.
not until November.
What
the,
oh, November.
It airs in November.
That spot on the.
But have they given you a DVD? Didn't one of
I was
give you a copy
flower
of
and looking
the
for
DVD,
the.
DVD. Haven't
spot.
Got that yet. No.
Oh.
No. Okay.
What?
No, it's 1:30.
If he can say five deep.
Listen to me. Listen to me. It's time to go around the NFL. It's time to go around the NFL. It's time to go
He's
around.
He's banging on the window.
There we go. There we go. Okay. Good. Doc, I had to wake Doc up. We should get like seven of them. Seven producers and name them all like the seven dwarfs. So you got Doc, Sleepy, Grumpy, Bashful.
He's all of them.
Because we have one that's Doc.
Is one dumb? He would be dumb, too. Yeah,
thanks.
All right. Paul, before we go this week, what happened last week?
Well, I know that there was a emailer that said that we might have had some mistakes.
Fraud doesn't know
if there were
about.
Any mistakes made, it was simply a slip of the tongue because according to the way they were recorded in the
they
notebook,
like
we checked
have.
Them, we double-checked them, and this is the way they came out. Andy is absolutely in the lead.
I'm a Kenyan, baby.
Let's see. Last week, Andy and Eric Kenyan went 11-3. This is
wow.
this is overall. I went 10-4. Fred went 9-5. With a spread, Eric led the way at 9-5.
Oh, good, Eric.
Son of a...
Andy went 8-6. Paul was 7-7, and Fred was 6-8. So,
wow. You stink.
Season yeah. standings
Having
to date
year.
Are Andy, 47-15. Paul, second, 42-20. Eric, 41-21. Fred, 40-22. With the spread,
all right.
Andy is also leading at 37-25,
Kenyan,
followed
baby.
Again by me, 35-27. And Eric, 30-32.
Ooh, Fred taking it on the chin.
What do
you Fred, put, Eric, 30-32 is nothing to put your hands over your head.
I'm improving. But when you were 21-27 last
that's
week.
That's why I'm improving.
Yeah, yeah, good.
And I'm ahead of you.
I'm having a bad year. What can I say?
What can I say? I'm having a bad year. So, can't believe I'm losing to this guy.
That, I can't believe I'm losing to this guy.
He's drunk a lot. That's why he's so angry.
So you're taking it on the chin both ways.
A lot of home underdogs this week. And with good reason. We'll start off with one of the best reasons. Minnesota is at St. Louis, Andy.
Minnesota.
Where Minnesota is favored by 9.5.
I will take Minnesota to win and conquer. Did you see Rush Limbaugh?
Yes.
Gonna
Looking to
the,
buy
the
Rams.
Rams. Interesting.
He's a Missouri guy. Ditto heads.
Uses drugs.
Yes.
Heavily.
Hypocrite.
Racist.
All those things.
I think not.
Yes, he is.
Yeah.
Minnesota to win and cover. What was the points against? Just for my own mental gratification.
9.5.
Yeah, they'll kill him.
I will also take Minnesota to win and win handily.
I'm going to take Minnesota to win, but I'm going to take the points Ooh. Because I can't imagine St. Louis is going to get blistered every single week. Sooner or later, they have to play a close game.
Sooner or later, yeah, they have to cover.
You know,
well, they did cover once.
Here's my prediction.
Are they playing the Chiefs?
I should, get an extra point if I'm right on this.
No.
St. Louis loses but covers. Favre throws two interceptions because he's getting cocky now.
No.
You know, the first, his first.
I'll give you an extra point.
His first major hurdle he's gone over. Now he's.
We're now awarding extra points in a picks contest? How does that.
No.
Is this the 8-run ball in MTV Jockin' Sports or whatever? What was it called?
I don't even know what you're talking about.
Softball game
Ober
they used
thing?
To play and then.
Ken Ober?
What?
Ken Ober was the host?
Who's Ken Ober?
The remote control guy?
I don't know.
He's Roman Ober's.
Celebrity rockin' jock. That's what I mean.
Roman Ober.
Okay, go.
Another touchdown plus home dog is Kansas City. They're hosting Dallas. Dallas by 8.5.
Oof. Wow. Who is the Dallas Cowboys?
Is that a spit take, Paul?
That's a spit take, too. That is a spit take.
Who
by Paul.
Is the Dallas Cowboys? Michael Irvin breaking it down. What it is what it is. I will take the... Cowboys to win, but I'll take the points. Don't feel good about the Cowboys. Feel good about the Chiefs at home. Keeping it close. Little fight. Big game for Matt Castle. Big, big game. 300-plus yards.
Suck it, Trebek!
I'm going to take the Cowboys to win, Paul. And
So you're going to copy the Kenyan, aren't you?
I would like to
stride
copy.
Stride for stride with the Kenyan.
I would like to, but I'm not going to. I think Dallas will win by at least 10 points.
If you'd like to, you can.
I'm going to.
What? You said you'd like to copy the Kenyan.
I'm going to take the Cowboys to win and cover as well. I think the Chiefs are just not very good.
You know who starts at right tackle?
Four.
Ryan O'Callaghan, Chiefs.
Yeah.
Here's my thing. I'm going to also take Dallas to cover. If they don't, and God forbid if they lose, this Dallas Cowboys team is horrendous. I mean, I think that they're better than they've shown, but I could be absolutely wrong, and it'll prove it this week if they don't have a good showing against Kansas City.
I think that's who they are. I think that's pretty close to accurate. I think they're a talented, middling team that's going to win some games, lose some. But lose if, some, if, it shouldn't. If they win have, some, if, maybe if, you didn't think they were the better team.
I know, but if they have any hope at the playoffs, they should be the kind of team that says, you know what?
Playoffs?
Finally, let's turn this around, and they should be able to take care of business against Kansas City. If they can't, then they're not going to make the playoffs.
How about you, Cowboys?
I'm with Andy.
Couldn't happen to a better team, by the way.
I think that they are. This is kind of what they are, but I also think they should beat teams like Kansas City fairly handily. Carolina is at Washington, where the Redskins are a surprising 3.5-point pick.
Lee Corso told me last week, somebody knows something when there's games like this. I'm not going to go with them. I'm going to go with the Carolina Panthers to win. I think they're the better all-around team. I think the Redskins are a sinking ship. I can never pick with Jim Zorn. I'd rather pick against him. So I'll go with Jim Fox.
These are two not very good teams.
I'm going to take his brother, John.
John.
Not very good. It's like
Stan Harbaugh.
I think I'll take Carolina as well.
You think you will or you will?
Yeah, I think Andy nails this one right on the head. I think this is a red flag game, and I'm going to fall for the red flag, and I'm going to pick Carolina. I think they're a better team than Washington is, but usually when they have spreads like this, they do so for a reason, and I wouldn't be surprised to see the Redskins put it together and win by two touchdowns. But I got to think D'Angelo Williams and that running game, they're able to control the clock against a bad offense, too. Washington has not been able to score any points. I like the Panthers. Freddie?
I got to go with the Redskins. I got to feel that they think that this is their last stand. And sometimes it's almost better to go on the road in situations like that. There's less distractions. You're together as a team. So I think Washington puts it together and beats Carolina.
So are they going to go to Carolina and then go back home to play the game so they can get that feel for the road trip?
Why, is the game in Washington?
Yes.
Well, then NFL – no, see, that's not right.
That's what I had written down. Maybe
I'm looking
I have it
at
wrong.
It, the game here on NFL.com.
Maybe I have it wrong. You know what? You are correct. It's Washington at Carolina.
Damn it.
Take back your laugh, Andy.
Oh, wait a minute. I wrote it down completely backwards. My bad. I will throw myself on the mercy of the court. Carolina is favored by 3.5.
Okay, I'll stick with
that. I resign.
I'll stick with my pick.
I wrote it backwards.
That's too bad.
Good thing, Fred. Okay. I'll give you a 5-minute respite. I won't make money for the next 5 minutes.
Playing against air with no one else on the field, Carolina.
I'm still taking Carolina, by the way.
Yeah, I'm going to take Washington.
I'm not so sure, Andy.
For all the reasons,
I'm going to keep my sheet out just in case we have some more.
For all the reasons I correctly laid out, I will take Washington.
Yeah. Correctly, right?
Wow, that's very unlike me.
Like the panties.
Which is making me question.
For you. Well,
that's why I have it right here.
Making Seinfeld. Me question last week a little bit now. The guy who listens and keeps track of the picks and said, you won and I didn't. And
ooh, wow. I'm questioning the integrity of Paul. And Paul looking at him like he just farted on his pillow.
The Bible.
But it was written down.
Yeah, I know. But for all I know, you didn't even get the win-loss circle X's right.
Wow.
No, that was checked. I checked that. That's the part that I went back and double-checked.
I'm just saying, you're becoming like an NFL official.
Ding, ding, ding. Wow.
You can't get any more incompetent than that, so that's go time.
You on the take?
Now. It's go time now.
Okay, go. The picks are doing
Tampa
a lot of time.
Tampa Bay is indeed at Philadelphia, as I have written down.
I'll take Philly.
The Eagles are favored by 14.5.
Ooh.
I'll take Philly to
Who's
win.
Who's quarterbacking this week?
Donovan McNabb.
McNabb says he is.
And I will take the Eagles to cover. I'm fine. I'll lay the big points against a big bad team. Raheem and the other guy, they stink.
I'll take Philly to win, but I'll also take those points. I think that's a lot, even for a bad Tampa team.
Yeah,
it is a lot, but I think this is the kind of game that the Eagles are a bit of a bully team. They love to play the really bad teams at home and they look great doing that all the time. I'm gonna be with Andy. I'm gonna lay the points.
I before the season, even before Michael Vick, thought that this was going to be Donovan McNabb's end of not career, but this is going to be the one where we say he's lost it. It's over. And I'm sticking with that. I think that Philly wins, but they do not cover this game. I just think it's over for Donovan.
Over?
Yeah, I just don't think he's going to be any more a winning top echelon quarterback.
All right, another absolutely huge spread, and that is Oakland traveling to the Meadowlands to play the Giants, where the Giants are favored by 15.5.
I thought you were going to say 50, because that could be true, too.
This is Northeastern versus Florida.
Anybody.
I will take the Giants to win, obviously. I'll take the points. Some questions about Eli with that foot
plantar
issue.
Plantar fasciitis. Yeah. That could be an issue.
So combine the big number with some uncertainty at quarterback, and that's enough for me to take the number.
I agree with the Kenyan.
Because I'm pumping it out. I'm striding, baby. I weigh 82 pounds, and I'm just pumping.
I agree with the Kenyan and the Ethiopian.
Your head weighs 82 pounds.
You're lying your ass off.
I think every once in a while, Oakland plays one of those games where they're way more competitive than anybody thought they would be. They probably won't win. I think the Giants will win the game, but I'll take the 15.5.
Status on Eli Manning? What's his deal?
He just said he's dealing with that foot.
I know. Do we know if he's going to play or not? Or
no.
So
I mean, a day-to-day thing, and he's going to play with something he's been fitted with. He started 77 regular season games in a row, 82 if you include the postseason. And, of course, we all remember the Super Bowl, yeah. And that streak continues.
Well,
I just read word really, for word from
but
Bob
it's really Lauber. Anybody's guess.
Yeah, I got to say the Giants cover this game. The Raiders are just, from what I read, that everything that we've heard, it's worse.
And Cable is going to potentially get prosecuted for the punching of the assistant coach.
Now, is this because the assistant coach is going forward with it, or what's the deal here?
I don't really know.
You know? Like, is this guy still working for the team? This assistant coach?
I don't know. I think so, but I don't know. I think part of it became
kind of an awkward situation.
It became kind of public in the hospital process, right, when he told them how he got injured and he was honest about it, and I think that kind of became public record.
And now, is it one of those things where, well, you can't take back the charges? Now the wheels of justice are churning.
I don't think so, because that only happens, I thought, in domestic cases.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Yeah, so I'm wondering if this, you know, if this guy's still working there, isn't it kind of weird, you know?
It's very weird.
Well, supposedly they were having a really hard time. The law officials were having a hard time because no one was really helping, and the thought was that all of those assistant coaches are a lot more afraid of Al than they are of the police.
Yeah, well.
Hi-ho. Jacksonville and Seattle. Down the road.
Down the road.
Cleveland at Buffalo, where the Bills are favored by 6, and what should be quite very well could be the worst game of the week.
Mm. I'll take Buffalo. They're at home, and I hate Cleveland. Maybe a rally game for them as they get rid of Braylon Edwards and everybody rallies around it. But I just don't really like Cleveland.
A real Rust Belt game.
I don't see a rally.
The Battle of Lake Erie.
Yeah.
I like Buffalo. I think they'll win by more than 7.
Yeah, I'll take the Bills, too. I think both of these teams stink, but I think Cleveland stinks more.
I'll obviously root for the Browns, but I think the Bills will win as well.
You'll root for Mangini?
Well he's rooting against Buffalo,
AFC East and T.O. I want to see T.O. explode.
I think you'll get that opportunity shortly. Cincinnati and the 3-1 Bengals will travel to Baltimore. Be interesting to see if the Ravens have stopped crying long enough to prepare for their next game.
Oh,
the Ravens!
Shot from
Ravens below. By 8.5.
Will be done crying. They will bounce back and they will win big to kind of reaffirm themselves as a top level team, even more so than I think we saw in a losing effort here at Gillette Stadium. I just think they're a good all around football team, and I think they will, with all that leadership, they will get on the straight and narrow and start plugging ahead again.
What's the number again, Paul? I'm sorry?
8.5.
8.5.
8.5. I will take Baltimore to win, and I'll take those points. I think Cincy will make it close.
Cedric Benson banged up, I believe.
I agree with Eric. I think Baltimore will win this game, and I think they'll win it fairly easily. But the 8.5 worries me a little bit. You get the oh, by the way, touchdown at the end. The Ravens' secondary is not great, so I think they'll have a hard time preventing the oh, by the way, touchdown at the end. I'll take the points.
Now, the Patriots have given the league the blueprint on how to beat the Ravens. And because of that, Carson Palmer will be taking the officials out to dinner the night before and
asking
about their kids. And
did you hear that after the game, by the way? And I'm assuming it was the referee talking to Brady when he left his mic on. And he said, I wanted to ask you about this before, but how about that game on Saturday?
Oh, yeah, when we were leaving the press box.
He left his mic on. He was chatting with Brady, and you hear Brady say, yeah, that was something, huh? And
Michigan State game. And they were talking about that, right?
You know, continuing their pregame thigh rubbing.
So I'll take Baltimore, but not to cover.
Baltimore, but Cincinnati with the points.
Yep.
All right.
Okay.
Moving along to Pittsburgh, travels to Detroit, another big-time home dog. The Lions are getting 10.5.
Well, considering Rashard Mendenhall will score 14 on his own, the Pittsburgh Steelers will roll on the road behind the AFC Offensive Player of the Week and future Pro Bowler Rashard, the real deal, Mendenhall.
I will take Pittsburgh to win as well. I will take the points again, though, because I think
Mendenhall is ridiculous.
I don't think that, but I think that
you're an idiot.
Detroit will play tough, especially at home. I know Stafford's sort of questionable to play, but I'll still take the points.
Yeah, the Stafford thing is the reason why I'm not going to take the points. I'll lay them with Pittsburgh. I think that they'll win the game handily. Even if he's able to play, I don't think he'll be up to snuff at with a knee injury like that. And he has played reasonably well, I think. Certainly has a lot less to work with than the average rookie quarterback does. So I think he's done okay, and they've scored points. That defense is miserable, and I think Andy's right. I think you'll see Mendenhall have another big day running the football. You see what Chicago did to them last week on the ground?
Mm-hmm.
Matt Forte hasn't had an effective game in a while, and he looked like the guy that started the season last year. I'll take Pittsburgh.
I got to go with Pittsburgh as well.
Oh, picking Mendenhall, huh?
No, I actually took the Steelers. Anyway,
ride the horse.
Atlanta is at San Francisco. And let's see, this game opened up the week as a pick 'em, but now the Niners are favored by 2.5 at home.
Frank Gore not going to play, I believe.
Oh, well, that's huge.
I will take, I'll still take San Francisco. I think they're the better football team. Who are they playing?
Atlanta.
I just totally forgot. Wait a minute. Let me rethink that. I miss.
Atlanta
at San Francisco.
San Fran by 2.5.
San Francisco by 2.5 with no Gore. I will take Atlanta to win on the road. They are the better football team. I don't know who I thought you said, the Bucks or somebody. San Francisco's playing well, and I think that's a good signing for them for Crabtree. That'll add another dimension to their offense. When you get Gore back and Crabtree on the field, they might be a force in that NFC West, but right now the Falcons are a force in the NFC.
I like Atlanta, too. I think they're the better football team, as Andy said. But San Fran's a good team, too. I think they're better than they were projected maybe to be that going into this year.
Oh,
but
sure.
But I think Atlanta's more than capable.
This is a tough one for me. I actually think San Francisco might be a little bit better all around, but the Gore situation worries me. That's how they want to win games. I'm going to take San Francisco at home anyway. I think their defense has a little something going, and it also concerns me that Atlanta's coming off the bye. Which could help the Falcons. But I'll take a shot with the home team. I'll take the Niners.
I got to go with Atlanta here. If they want to really be considered, a top-tier team in this league, they got to go into San Francisco and beat them. So
take care of business, right?
Yeah, I got to go with the Falcons in this game.
Can't do it.
Won't do it.
Let's see. Houston travels to Arizona, where the Cardinals are favored by 5.5, Andy.
I will take the Cardinals to win and cover. Houston, I don't know if you've heard, has a terrible defense. I was just writing up Chris Johnson's must-stop for the upcoming issue, which highlights his Week 2 performance, which included a 50-yard run, a 60-yard run, and a 90-yard reception, or some format of those three things against Houston.
And Houston won.
Arizona at home, and Arizona obviously has playmakers on offense. They're going to make some plays.
I like Arizona in this game, too. Houston's an enigma. Some weeks they look like they're a decent team.
Wrapped
some weeks
in a conundrum?
Indeed. Well put, Paul.
Really, was it?
But I think...
Or was it a bit cliche?
I was being a little facetious.
Were you really?
Yeah. As I am now to you, you big-headed
fool. I don't really listen to you, so just talk.
So I'll take Arizona. You
got to hurry.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, we're almost done. I will take the Cardinals, too. I don't get what the Cardinals are yet. I don't know... I don't know how good they are.
They're not. They're frauds. They're kind of like the Cowboys. They got some talent. They win some games, and they'll be middling. Just like they were, 9-7 last year and then got on a run. They're talented enough to get on a run, not good enough to do it consistently.
I think you're probably right, but I'll take
the
Cardinals.
And they got a Punani who can't play outdoors.
What?
Punani, the quarterback who wears gloves indoors.
In the mic, Eric.
I did that on purpose because I shouted.
See what he did there.
Yeah. Plus, I was eating.
Okay. I'm going to take the Cardinals, but I'm also going to take the points. Houston covers.
All right, Doc, you say Jacksonville at Seattle. The Jags are favored by 3.
Seattle plus 3.
So Jacksonville's favored by 3. Okay, Jacksonville at Seattle, Jacksonville by 3.
Who's playing quarterback for Seattle?
I would say Seneca Wallace based on that spread.
Jacksonville by 3. I will take Jacksonville to win and cover, even though I don't feel good about it. David Garrard had a big week last week, which means Paul, considering my theory on him that he's just a Jag, is due for a terrible week. But I'm going to risk it, and I'll take the Jags.
I really want to take the Jags, but I think this is going to be an upset. Small upset. Small U upset. So I'll take Seattle.
Yeah, I'm going to take Seattle, too. I just don't think Jacksonville has enough, maturity, talent to go across the country and win in a place like Seattle. I don't see it. Seattle wins the game.
I'm going to go with Jacksonville coming off, of course, a big win last week. A little bit of momentum. I think Seattle is really kind of reeling right now.
Plus, yeah. David Garrard still won't do his Friday radio show, so I'm feeling good
about
it.
But they're still tough at home. They should have beaten the Bears 2 weeks ago at home.
John,
they missed,
is that product
they missed two chip
hand?
Shot field goals.
Ew, it's a little spiky.
I'll stick with Jacksonville in this game.
Looking good. I like it.
All right. Indy is at winless Tennessee for the Sunday night game that we'll be watching probably as we fly home. The Colts are 3.5-point favorites on the road.
Colts will win. They're the better football team. The Tennessee Titans are struggling a little bit in the secondary. Their defense, not quite as dominant as it was with Albert Haynesworth. Maybe Cortland Finnegan turning into who Paul thought he was, which was not a Pro Bowl corner. And I say at the end of this game, you will see Texas own Vince Young in the game because Kerry Collins is who we thought he was.
What are the chances that Vince Young takes the field in Gillette Stadium a week
pretty
from
good.
Sunday?
Pretty good, which is why when Moore asked me who you wanted for your Cillo, I said, I don't know, Vince Young or something, because I think there's a chance he's the quarterback.
Well, I put Kerry Collins only because I think the story of their first 5 weeks is Kerry Collins, even though I think there's a good chance that Vince
Young
is
Kerry Collins.
Yeah. Well, I
mean,
that's
I just
the story.
Think anybody who thought he was going to be anything different at age 39 because he had a good year to sign him to a 2 or 3 year extension
to
be our starter.
It's Kerry Collins and no Albert Haynesworth. That's the story in Tennessee.
Number was 3.5?
3.5, Colts.
Yeah, Colts are going to win by way more than that. They're a good team. Tennessee isn't. That's all you got to say.
Freaking Colts, huh? No, I mean, we all went into this season going, new coaches, this,
but
that.
But we also went in saying,
they
still have Peyton Manning.
I still think the coaching is an issue there, by the way.
Well, I do too, but the bottom line is, what we've always said, as long as the Patriots have Brady and the Colts have Manning,
it's
pretty confident that you can pick them more often than not.
That's why I say freaking Colts.
Too much talent. I'm going to take the Colts, too, just because I think the Titans are a hair away from packing it in. A hair away.
Yeah, I'm going to take the Colts as well.
All right, the Monday night game is the Jets at Miami.
I think this could be a lot more interesting than people think, this game.
Where the Jets are favored by 1.5.
I'll take the Jets to win and cover. Sounds like Braylon Edwards is going to play for them. I say he has a big play kind of thing, gets off on that big start, honeymoon period, and opposite of the honeymoon for Chad Henne. The Jets defense gets after him, and he looks like you might expect from a young quarterback making second start.
Yeah, I like the Jets to win pretty big in this game.
Yeah,
14 maybe.
Yeah, the big thing here to me is, and whether it's real or not, Rex Ryan has had great success shutting down that Wildcat, and that's basically all of Miami's offense right now. I don't see them controlling the ball for 40-some-odd minutes like they did a few weeks ago. I think the Jets win this one easy.
This is my upset special of the week. I think that Miami sacks Sanchez so much, and because of the baseball dirt out there, he comes up and they call him Dirty Sanchez.
I knew that was coming.
I like it, but I don't know if the baseball dirt's actually going to be out.
Oh, really?
But I do like where you went with that.
Is over, right?
Right. and we have come to the end of the picks portion of the program.
Do the Patriots.
We only have five minutes to do this.
The New England Patriots travel to Denver.
What is this?
CBS.
Should have a vote. What's the best network football music out there?
Late '70s CBS.
No, current.
None. They all suck.
Wow.
Sucky, sucky, sucky.
This one's pretty famous.
Oh, I kind of like
that. That's not bad.
But I'm swayed by the robots because I love the
robots. I just like when the robot comes up, the special team robot guy that points to the sky. I like that guy.
He has new moves this year, if you watch.
This one, too?
Yes, he does. He does flips now.
Yeah, he has some new moves.
NBC, ESPN.
Yeah, I don't like NBC.
CBS.
I don't
And Fox.
The best well, is
the best is the still, old Monday Night Football.
Yeah,
one.
That's still the best.
Right.
Monday Night Football.
So yeah. You like that one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A close second, I think, was the old NFL Today on CBS.
Yeah, that was a good one.
That's what I was talking about.
Yeah. That was pretty good, too.
Bam,
bam. Exactly.
Science.
Once again, you guys going to call me drunk again? I'm always this stupid.
This is okay.
Yeah, I don't mind that.
This is football night in America.
I got to be honest with you. I don't like anything that NBC
it's
does.
It's football night in America.
Yeah, I don't like this. Yeah.
I don't like the way they give the credits. You know, they flash the credits up there.
Yeah,
and
it's
like all those guys are the show.
Right.
Well, they truly believe that. I don't like anything
about
how many conference calls did they have when they bought the rights and telling you how good they were going to make everything. Right. And
legendary Fred Godelli, is that his name?
Right.
Yeah. Yes, correct.
Right.
He's the man.
Well, anyway, the Patriots are favored by 3 in Mile High.
Patriots are favored because they should be.
At Invesco Field at Mile High.
Despite what the numbers may tell you, all of them tell you that the Broncos could potentially be a better team. 4-0, you know, no interceptions thrown, no touchdowns allowed through the air, everything. It all comes falling apart. I said this to Paul earlier in the week. All those remarkable numbers for the Broncos will not look remarkable next week. I think the Patriots win big. My one concern is these reports of 30 degrees and snow and what
latest,
that does.
Both teams have to play in it.
Latest weather report. 45, rain and snow showers, 30% chance precipitation.
Oh, so it's going to be fine.
It'll be middle of the afternoon.
It's going to be mid-40s with 70% chance of no precipitation. They win big.
Even with the snow, Andy.
38-13.
As you know, both teams have to play in it.
That's true.
You know? So, but I think the Patriots will expose Denver on both sides of the ball, and I think they'll win by, say, 10 points.
I think Denver is going to get a respect coming out of this game in defeat that they have yet to achieve in victory, Fred.
Okay. Wow.
I think they're going to play the Patriots tough. They're going to lose, but they're going to show everybody that maybe they're not quite the frauds that everybody thinks they are.
Okay.
Patriots are going to win this game. I think they're going to win it, you know, I don't want to say going away, but 23-17, but maybe not that close. I think the Patriots have too much talent. But I think Denver's going to slow them down a little bit, and people are going to say, hey, maybe their defense is a little bit better.
Okay.
But I like the Patriots' chances big in this game. I really like the chances of them winning.
I think the Patriots score one touchdown per quarter. They win the game 28-10. So.
Wow.
So I have the only reasonably close game.
I guess so.
John?
I'm going with 27-17 Pats.
Wow.
There you go. So. Didn't have to waffle on that one much this
week. No, you've
kind of stayed right with it.
And you're 4-0 this year. Right?
I am. So. Picking the Pats, or right. Picking the game anyway.
Okay, well, that's great. Well, that just about does it for our show. If you're in Denver this weekend, we'll be at the Poorhouse Saturday night. You coming, Paul?
I am coming.
You're not going to the hockey game?
No, I think it's only right that I fulfill my obligations.
All right, so we'll be at the Poorhouse Sunday night.
That
I mean,
sounds
Saturday
politically
night.
Correct as I wanted it to.
And
yes,
John has his show coming up. What's it called?
Playbook
with John Rook.
Playbook.
Patriots playbook.
What do you got going on that show?
Whatever we got going on.
Baxter. Eric?
Russell Baxter will be with us.
Now, does he get
from
paid?
ESPN.
Do we pay him?
No.
You He's just doing this Baxter. Out of the kindness of his heart?
He does this because he loves football. And as I've said many times to those who listen to our program, he's the only person out of the thousands that work at the Worldwide Leader there in Bristol, Connecticut. He is the one person in that entire complex whose job is the NFL 365 days a year.
Is that right?
Yes, the only one.
Huh.
Not Ron Jaworski?
Nope. Well, because Jaws doesn't work 365 days a year.
Right, he's not a full time
employee. Jaws player. That's right. Touché. So he's the only full time employee there whose job is the National Football League.
Wow.
The irony is.
And
Jaws,
you have
Jaws
him on your show.
And I have him on our show.
That
That's right. And plus, Mike Kliss, who covers the.
That's Kliss.
That's Kliss. Yes. He covers the Broncos for the Post.
Oh, great.
In Denver.
Great he's, guy, by the
be,
way.
He'll be joining
great
us.
Great guy.
Okay.
Is he really?
In my dealings with him, my limited dealings with him. Oh.
Okay.
All right. When he shows up as an axe murderer, I want you to say, I thought he was a great guy.
Never saw it coming.
The mock draft, the writer's mock draft.
That'll be it for this edition of PFW in Progress. We'll see you next Tuesday.